Welcome to the greatest wrestling recap or review, call it whatever you want, ever. This is your Backlash 2020 review, sound off extra style here on a Sunday night. I am the Sala Monster, and thank you so much for choosing me for your Backlash recap tonight. Hope everybody is filing in right now and is doing very well. Fightful.com broke the news earlier today, a little bit before the pay-per-view went on the air, that when the Randy Orton Edge match was taped, which it was a week ago today, in fact, last Sunday the match was taped, they even brought the NXT trainees, all the people in the crowd. They made sure before they went and did NXT TakeOver In Your House that they did this match first to make sure that they would be all excited and full of energy, and they would have their voices ready to cheer their asses off for Edge and Randy Orton. And at some point during that match, and I was really watching hard and trying to pay attention tonight, and at some point during that match tonight in the main event, Edge suffered a very serious injury. Thankfully, it was not a neck injury. You would think, you know, with his history and the way Orton was working over his neck, but it was not. He suffered a torn triceps. At some point during that main event, he tore his triceps. And that's a pretty serious injury, probably going to need surgery, probably 6 months, 8 months on the shelf. Sucks for Edge. Really sucks for Edge. Because I thought he and Randy Orton tonight had an excellent professional wrestling match in the main event. That was done absolutely no favors by this greatest wrestling match ever bullshit. It was done no favors by the piped in crowd noise and all of the theatrics and everything. I mean, I like some of the camera angles they used. There were elements of the match that I liked. I think those two guys should be commended for going out and erasing the memory of their WrestleMania match, at least for me. Maybe some of you liked it. I didn't. The match of WrestleMania. I very much enjoyed their match tonight. See, I promised that I was going to be nice when I opened the review. Now that I've gotten that out of the way, there was a whole other pay-per-view here tonight. And it wasn't all garbage. I'm not going to tell you that every match sucked, because that's not true. In fact, I think the WWE Championship match was pretty damn good. I enjoyed Drew McIntyre and Bobby Lashley. I enjoyed that. But I couldn't help but sit here watching this Backlash show as match went on, you know, new match, and the show is going along, and I'm just thinking to myself, this is no good. This is supposed to be a big pay-per-view, doesn't feel like it. I remember when Backlash used to be actually a pretty important show. It would come the month after WrestleMania, now it's in June, which kind of makes no sense, but whatever. This was not a good pay-per-view. I cannot sit here and tell you that Randy Orton and Edge saved the day. On the whole, this was not a good show. And the Viking Raiders and the Street Profits stuff, I don't even know where to begin with that. I mean, I'll get to that later in the stream. But that is a classic example of WWE taking a cool concept that works and just driving it into the fucking ground. I was embarrassed to be sitting here watching that match. If you could even call it a match, I don't know what you would call it. Was it a dream sequence? I don't know. Whatever it was, I sat here wondering, what am I doing? What am I doing with my life? What am I watching? What am I sitting here about to review? And then along came Edge and Randy Orton. Edge and Randy Orton saved you all from a meltdown here on the stream tonight. I'm sure a lot of you are upset about that and very disappointed, but again, I cannot hate on that main event. But I can't hate on this pay-per-view as a whole. I cannot go higher than probably 5 out of 10 on this pay-per-view. Can't do it. But the Edge and Randy Orton match, what that match was, now that it's over, now that we've seen it, now that we've seen the greatest wrestling match ever, which of course it wasn't, but now that we've seen it, it was interesting because the match to me came across as this almost like a celebration of all of these different elements of pro wrestling, right? You had the mat wrestling and the chain wrestling and the you know, all the catches, catch can stuff at the beginning of the match. He had some blood, whether it was intentional or not, I don't know, but Randy Orton was bleeding. You had them pulling out everybody's finishing move. People complain about the NXT guys. People complain about Adam Cole and Johnny Gargano and all these people and kicking out of finishers and finisher spam. Well, that's what you got tonight in the main event. Now, I enjoyed it. I think it was a little excessive. I think they took it too far. But it was this celebration of sorts from the old MSG microphone to the Howard Finkel voiceover, the Eddie Guerrero, Three Amigos. They tried to incorporate a lot of different elements into this match, and I think it worked. And again, I think both men are to be commended. I don't know exactly where the injury happened, but we'll get to all that. We will get to all that. We got a lot to unpack. Super chats are open. You already see them coming through. So feel free if you'd like to support the stream. If you want to get your message on screen, they'll be popping up throughout the night. You'll see the special donation amounts down in the description below. Vote in the Twitter poll at Solomonster. I have a feeling that there's going to be a lot of divided opinion about this pay-per-view, so I want to hear from you guys. Thumbs up, thumbs down. What did you think of Backlash? I already got messages from people calling it back trash and all this. There's going to be a lot of divided opinion, a lot of heated debate about this pay-per-view, and I want to hear from you guys, and we'll check those results out a little bit later on. We're also doing something else tonight that I'm very excited about, and I'm sure that's why some of you anyway are here. And a little bit later on in the stream, we are going to be having a very special raffle because WrestleRumble.com is giving away three, as I look at Crane Corbin on the screen, giving away three replica championship belts tonight live right here on the stream on YouTube. And entries are now closed if you have not gotten an entry. But for the winner, it's the Big Three Belt Bash. You get the ECW World Heavyweight title, the Big Gold WCW Heavyweight title, and the classic Winged Eagle WWE Championship belt. And I will be picking a random winner a little bit later on in the stream, so definitely make sure you stick around for that because that's going to be fun, especially if you're the winner. Right? If you're the winner, it's going to be a lot of fun. I have to give a shout out to Samoa Joe. Samoa Joe was maybe the MVP of this pay-per-view tonight. WWE commentary is what it is. It's not great. It sounds very forced. They have their good nights. They have their bad nights. Samoa Joe was on point tonight. I thought Samoa Joe did a kick-ass job. He's really good at his position. And I don't know if he's going to come back. I'm sure he'll come back at some point. But when he's done, if he wants it, he's got a job waiting for him that I think he would fit into perfectly. Perfectly. He did the best he could tonight. The intensity, he was excited, especially in the main event. He was. You know, I couldn't see him, but it felt like he was jumping out of his seat. He was screaming at some of the near falls. He was like a fan. I thought Samoa Joe did a hell of a job. I agree with the Snide in the chat. I think he carried the show in a lot of ways. And so before we even say anything else, before we go any further, I want to give him some credit for that because I thought he did a hell of a job. The United States Championship was on the line. Apollo Crews defending against Andrade. This was a late addition to the kickoff show. It was bumped down to the kickoff show from the main card. Originally, they had announced the Raw Tag Team title match was a late add to the kickoff. And then somewhere along the course of the afternoon, that changed, and it was the U.S. title match. They should have just bumped the Viking Raider Street Profit stuff completely off the show. Didn't even need to be on the show. They love their movies. We make movies. I enjoyed Money in the Bank, but I knew they would do this. I mean, what did I say? When they started doing the cinematic stuff, right, the Boneyard match I loved, Money in the Bank I got a kick out of, just don't drive it into the ground. We just got one a week ago, a takeover. Wasn't that great. I enjoyed it, but it really wasn't that great. Adam Cole and Velveteen Dream, and they just can't help themselves. 1 week later, they're right back at it again. Vince McMahon thinks he's fucking Martin Scorsese over here. So we had Apollo Crews and Andrade. Two supposed Paul Heyman guys, interestingly enough, if the reports are to be believed, reduced to pre-show duty. Could mean nothing. Could mean something. I don't know. Too early to tell. I guess we'll have to wait and see. Kevin Owens came out to provide color commentary. He was wearing his usual, you know, gym shorts and a t-shirt. For some reason, he had a tie around his neck. Not quite sure why. I guess he wanted to dress for the occasion. He wanted to make sure that Angel Garza did not get in the match and involve himself and mess things up for Apollo, because Apollo's his buddy, so he didn't want to mess things up for Apollo. Cruz hit a press slam, standing moonsault, standing shooting star combo. Of course, Garza got up on the apron. Owens left the booth, yanked him off the apron, hit a stunner on the floor. He came up grimacing, didn't look like it felt too good, but he seemed to be okay, I hope. Cruz got Andrade up for the spinning sit-out powerbomb and got the pin, so Apollo Cruz retains the championship. It was too short to really mean anything. It really was nothing special. I mean, these two guys have had much better matches. This was just, it was what it was. It was good for the time it lasted, but it really was hardly anything special. And that was it. That was the one kickoff match before the pay-per-view started. Let me just run through some of these super chats here. They were coming in before I went live, because you guys are awesome. You guys did put me in a good mood. I wasn't in a very good mood, I got to tell you. Before that Randy Orton Edge match, I was on the verge of a breakdown, but you pulled me back in from the ledge. Erasmo Solis, thank you very much for the $20 drop. I appreciate that. Drew, what's going on, Drew? Wavy Davey, sending some love from Brooklyn. Stephen Field, thank you for the $5. Says Edge, Mysterio, and Dominic against Rollins, Murphy, and Austin Theory at SummerSlam. I don't think Edge is going to be wrestling anytime soon. Jacob Donnelly, thank you for your support. And Scott DeVries, thank you for the 10 spot. I appreciate that. So, the pay-per-view. Pay-per-view opened with the triple threat match for the women's tag team title. Sasha Banks and Bayley just won the championships about a week ago, defending against Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross and the Iconics, both of whom have already been tag team champions before. Three women allowed in the ring at one time. Those are the rules of the match. You can only tag out to your partner, but three women in the ring at any one time. And the winners would be defending the titles on Wednesday on NXT against Tegan Nox and Shotzi Blackheart. We got a rare dive here in this. I mean, now, let me back up a little bit. The idea of seeing a dive on WWE television, not rare at all. In fact, I would be stunned if we got a pay-per-view where there wasn't any dives. I would think that there was something wrong with these people. Maybe their temperatures have spiked. Maybe they're sick. Maybe they're not feeling well. I would be shocked if we had a show with no dives. Peyton Royce, I don't know that I've ever seen her do a dive before. She did a dive. She didn't kill herself, so I chalked that up as a victory. So that was fine. But the fact that they had all the, you know, three women in the ring at once instead of two, it made for a little more of a chaotic environment, which I liked. I actually thought that was a good move on their part. It went shorter than I thought it would. Went about 8 minutes, so not a terribly long match. Peyton was down. Alexa Bliss comes off the top rope with Twisted Bliss, but before she could even go for the pin, Sasha Banks, one of my favorites. Sasha Banks comes over, and rolls up Alexa and pins her, and they retain the tag team titles. And so that was the right outcome. I said it going into the show, no reason to take the titles off them just yet. In fact, I wanted them to go to NXT on Wednesday. They're going to go to NXT now, Sasha and Bayley, on Wednesday. And I would do the title change on NXT. Have a miscommunication, further the story between Sasha and Bayley, because you know where it's building to. You know it's coming. Give the belts to Tegan and Shotzi. Try something a little bit different. Bring the women's tag team titles to NXT. That's what I would do. But that was the right outcome. They showed Braun Strowman arriving at the Performance Center in his newly repaired Plymouth Grand National. Is that an old car? I'm not a car guy, so I don't know if that's an old car, rare car. Seems like a small car for a guy that is the size of Braun Strowman. Surprised he's not driving a truck, some kind of Jeep. Maybe a Prius. But apparently, according to Corey Graves, it is his most prized, or I think he said his most coveted possession. And this is a guy who drove his coveted possession to the PC last week and had the windshield beaten to shit. So what does he do? He has it fixed. He brings it right back. I don't know, if it were me and that were my prized possession, it would be in a garage somewhere under a sheet. but he drove it back to the PC. And so what do you think happened? What do you think happened? I'll give you three guesses. We had a commercial for the next pay-per-view, Extreme Rules, coming up on July 19. We had Sheamus against Jeff Hardy. Oh, joy. My favorite feud in WWE. We have the redemption story of Jeff Hardy, foiled by Sheamus, who frames him for a drunk driving incident that he did not do. He did not commit the crime. Forces him to take a drug test on television last week, a piss test, and here we are. Here we are at Backlash. You know, Jeff Hardy beat Sheamus in the opening round of the Intercontinental title tournament. And so, like any rational, mature, understanding adult, Sheamus went and framed him and almost murdered Elias, who is out with a legit torn pec. Seems like a rational response if somebody rolled me up in a wrestling match and pinned me. So on Friday, he forced Jeff to submit to a urine test. And we all know what happened. Sheamus took a golden shower. Took a golden shower for his troubles. What am I even doing with my life that I just said that sentence out loud? What the fuck is going on here? Between stuff like this and the stuff that I saw with that cinematic tag team title match, I don't know if I'm losing my mind, or I don't know if Vince McMahon is losing his mind. I don't know if Bruce is back on the mushrooms. I don't know what's going on here. A lot of weird shit going on, and it's not all good. This was Jeff's opportunity at revenge. If you were expecting a happy ending, then you came to the wrong massage parlor because you didn't get one. You didn't get one tonight. But the story is going to continue, of course. The story doesn't end here. This will go on to the next chapter. I don't know what Sheamus could possibly ask Jeff to do next. Take a blood test. What other kind of tests could he ask him to take? What other kind of exciting television? What other ways can they come up to embarrass Jeff Hardy? I wonder if this is their way of shaming Jeff Hardy. Who knows? Wouldn't put it past them. I thought that this match, it's a pretty good match, a little sloppy. Couple times where it looked a little rough around the edges. Went 17 minutes. Did not need to go 17 minutes. This match did not need to go that long. We had Sheamus dumping Hardy. Early on, he dumped him onto the turnbuckles and made a loud noise, and they sold it like Jeff's knee hit the top of the post. We had Sheamus hitting a couple of Irish curse backbreakers. He was very frustrated. He couldn't put this guy away. Michael Cole was on commentary. He was saying something about the frustration is setting in for Sheamus, and they're in the PC, so Sheamus can hear him. So my favorite thing, Sheamus looks over and starts yelling at Michael Cole. I like it when Bailey does that too. I wish we could do it. I wish there was a mechanism built into the network where we can sort of push a button and yell at Michael Cole whenever he says something fucking dumb, or whenever he says something that really annoys the shit out of us. You know, like Vince McMahon in his ear. Why can't we push a button? That would be fun. I want to see them build that feature into the network. I might even pay a few bucks more for it. So Jeff hit a whisper in the wind. Two count only. Sheamus went for white noise near fall. Put the clover leaf on. I guess the Irish clover leaf, you would call it, I guess. So Jeff later, he posted Sheamus in the corner, right? He goes in shoulder first into the corner. And he drops him with a twist of fate. Goes up top for the Swanton Bomb. Sheamus puts his foot on the ropes, though. So he's able to save himself that way. And Sheamus rolls to ringside. So Jeff gets up on the barricade, as he is known to do. He gets up on top of the barricade, and he does his little run. And as he's coming off the barricade, Sheamus catches him with a foot right to the face. Bro kick right to the face. Puts him back inside. Second bro kick. And that finishes off Jeff Hardy. So Sheamus wins, and I am, I guess I was 2-0 in my predictions at that point. I think I did pretty well, actually, tonight in my predictions, aside from what happened in this next match, which I will get to in a moment. Want to just play some catch-up here. Kevin, oh my god, Kevin, good to see you tonight. Crash, the Samoa Joe should transition to commentary like Taz. I think he will. I mean, he's got a career. He's got a whole second career when he's done wrestling, and he could be closer to the end of his career than not, given all the injuries. I mean, how much longer does he want to go on for getting hurt? Feels like every time he comes back, there's a concussion, there's some kind of issue, there's some kind of injury with Samoa Joe. You know, it's really a shame that he wasted some of his best years in TNA. It's going to piss off all the TNA fans. I don't really give a shit. He wasted a lot of his good prime years in TNA that he could have really made a mark and been champion in WWE. By the time he got to WWE or NXT, you know, his body, I guess, just was sort of betraying him at that point. Terrible Trey, thank you for the $5. Orton against Drew at SummerSlam, where Edge returns and costs him the match. Boy, you guys really think that Edge has some mutant healing powers. Well, for his sake, I hope he does. Y2Ken, thank you for the message from Y2Ken. Hearing the Fink was very emotional for him. And Chris Quillman, good to hear from you, Chris. Asuka defended the Raw Women's Championship against Nia Jax in her first title defense since she unwittingly won the championship at Money in the Bank when she won the briefcase and didn't realize that she was actually the new champion. So she defended the title against Nia Jax. I don't know how many of you heard about this. I didn't hear about this until earlier today. Mick Foley, I guess, who I think is off Twitter completely. I think Mick Foley was tired of all the negativity and everything a few weeks ago, and he went dark. Unless he came back, he's no longer on Twitter. Which is probably, in all honesty, kudos to Mick. Because probably for his health and mental well-being, it was probably a good move to get off Twitter. But anyway, Mick did an interview with TalkSport. And I bring this up because he felt the need to defend Nia Jax from all of the criticism that she has been receiving of late. A lot of people very upset with Nia Jax, you know, talking about how she's no good, or she should go back and, you know, go back to training and go back to basics, which is what I believe she should do. I'm not saying fire her and just discard her, but clearly I think she would benefit from being sent back. She's already in the PC. She doesn't have to go very far. Mick Foley says, no. He doesn't think that's fair. There's always going to be timing issues, he says, when you try to make something look real. Nia's just in there playing her role. She's supposed to be a bulldozer. She's supposed to make it look real and be a monster. And when you do that, things are going to happen. Things are going to happen. And he said that Nia Jax is a very good worker and a very good character, according to Mick Foley. I like Mick. Unfortunately, I think he's taken one too many chair shots to the head. So Nia hit a jackhammer to Asuka for a near fall. And Asuka was using some kicks. Nia caught one, barely, but she caught one. Hit a sit-out powerbomb for a near fall. Jax ran into the post. That's like the big girl, big guy spot in WWE. Sheamus did it too, but like Braun Strowman became notorious for. Braun Strowman, when he was back feuding with Roman Reigns, that's all he would do. He would run into things. He would run into the post. He would run into a dumpster, I think, once. He ran into the wall. He would run into a door. It's like a giant cartoon character. Nia Jax, she's the big monster of the division. What does she do? She's got to run into things. Because when you're big, that's what you do. You run into things. See, I would think if you're that big or like Braun's that tall, you're going to move slower. You would have enough time to stop yourself and not run into shit. But apparently in WWE, that's not the case. So she ran into the post. Asuka put her in an armbar. Nia fell out of the ring. Asuka hit a pretty wicked, wicked flying armbar. I got to say, I love the flying armbar when Asuka throws that on somebody. Hit the flying armbar, took Nia down. Nia broke free. And Asuka's kicking her, and the referee's counting this whole time. He's counting both women, and I'm like, oh no. And sure enough, he counts to the 10, and both ladies are counted out. Samoa Joe said, the next time they meet, Nia will be victorious. And I'm just thinking to myself, the next time they meet? You fucking kidding me? The next time they meet? This should have been one and done. This is Asuka's first championship defense since winning the title. Yes, Charlotte Flair is now back on Raw. Of course, that's going to be the next match, Asuka against Charlotte Flair. I'd like to think Shayna Baszler is somewhere in line for a championship match at some point, but with everything going on behind the scenes now, who knows? She may have fallen out of favor with the powers that be. But in her first title defense, she can't even beat Nia Jax? That means we now have to go through this again? Or more likely, we may get a triple threat. They're going to inject Charlotte into it, right into the vein, Charlotte Flair, and they're going to turn it into a triple threat. Maybe that's how Charlotte wins the championship, and maybe she beats Nia, so Asuka doesn't have to take the pin. I don't know. But the fact that we have to continue this feud is completely unnecessary. I would rather they just move on to Charlotte. Just go do Asuka and Charlotte. Charlotte pinned her on TV last week. It makes sense. Do we really need to continue to see Nia Jax contending for the Women's Championship? Why? Because she's big? Got no business being in there. She's got no business being a part of this story. She's got no business being in there with the champion challenging for the championship on multiple pay-per-views. Enough. Just stop. Double count-out finishes are rarely any good. This one was even worse because it means that we're getting the encore. Match itself I thought was okay. This was nothing close to the matches that they had in NXT. And I said on the podcast last week, they had some good matches in NXT. There was some chemistry there with Asuka and Nia. But this was nothing. I mean, this compared to that, this was nothing. The finish sucked. I don't care what anybody said. You're going to have the defenders who say, well, it makes sense because they're continuing. I don't give a shit. You're missing the point. I don't want it to continue. I don't care if it continues. This finish sucked. This finish was shit. And however good the match may have been, and it was okay, it wasn't great, it ruined it. You don't do a double countout, on a pay-per-view. What happened to the pay-per-views being, either climaxing these things or at least something special? Now they're doing, I feel like we're seeing this more often on these shows. We shouldn't be getting a double countout in 6 or 7 minutes. I mean, that's a television match. Why are you doing this on Backlash? But it's building to Extreme Rules. And so at Extreme Rules, I guess, there's no countouts and there's no disqualifications. But it still sucked. Braun Strowman. Speaking of sucked. Braun Strowman against John Morrison and The Miz. In a handicap match for the Universal Championship. Ah, yes. When you put one of your top titles on the line in a handicap match against the tag team. Who among us doesn't love seeing that? Now, they decided right before the pay-per-view to, I don't know if they changed the rules or did they added a new rule. They made no mention of this on television. We only first learned about this tonight. Apparently, Miz and Morrison only first learned about this tonight. That if Miz and Morrison were to win, whichever one of them were to get the winning fall, they would be the champion. They would not be co-champions. There would not be a Freebird rule. And so you knew exactly what was going to happen. Exactly what was going to happen. It's the same formula every time they do something like this, where if I'm wrestling for the championship, am I going to let my partner get the pin? Of course not. I'm going to pull him off. And then I'm going to be like, well, I didn't do anything wrong. I'm sorry. You could have seen this coming from a mile away. Miz and Morrison came out, and they had a special music video. We got the special music video treatment from Miz and Morrison. Or, I'm sorry, Johnny Drip Drip. And what was it? Johnny Drip Drip and MC, I'm sorry. I'm not cool. MCMIZ. Is that what they call themselves? Johnny Drip Drip? And why is he Drip Drip, by the way? I don't know. I don't want to know. After that urine test on TV on Friday, I don't need to know about no Drip Drip. Johnny Drip Drip, MCMIZ, that's what they call themselves. This was the video that Braun Strowman interrupted on Friday. They started showing the music video on SmackDown. Braun's music played, and so he interrupted. Then we never got to see it, and I was like, ah, great. So sure enough, we had to see it here on this show. Here's what I don't understand. So on SmackDown on Friday, they start showing the music video, right? And they get interrupted by Braun. So now they're here on the pay-per-view. And Braun just can't wait to just tear these two guys to shreds, right? And they come out and they start playing their music video, and he doesn't come out. He lets the music video play. Why didn't he come out and interrupt it here on this show? He interrupted it on Friday. How come he didn't? He just let it play. It's like when the babyface has to stand there and the heel's cutting a really tough promo on them and they just let the guy speak. The guy could be saying the most horrible, horrific things about him, and the babyface will just stand there and let him speak and let him finish his rant, because the babyfaces in this company are very courteous. They're very, I guess so. You know? The babyfaces are very, they're very nice people here on the show. But this music video, this was, you know, I don't know. I don't know if they were going for some kind of like Miami Vice 80s vibe, or it felt to me like something out of the early 90s MTV, before the days of Teen Mom and Catfish and whatever other crappy shows they have now on MTV. But they came out and they sang their song, and
we're a couple of losers. We're going to get our asses handed to us because we suck.
So this was a match that it existed. I don't know what else to say about this match. The match took place. It existed. It was there. Right? It was just something for Braun Strowman to do before the next opponent, before the next challenger. That's all this was. Miz and Morrison, I will say this. I will say this about Miz and Morrison. They busted their asses. They worked their asses off. They tried. I mean, they did their job. You know, they were made to be the fools. They were made to be the, you know, the goofs. They were made to be the impractical jokers in this rivalry. These are the guys that were tag team champions only a few months ago. And now they're just, you know, doing comedy with Braun Strowman and acting like a couple of high school kids. But I had no interest in this feud coming into this, and there's a reason for that. They had a double team skull crushing finale, double foot stomp combo. And Morrison went for the cover, and Miz, of course, predictably yanked him off. I could see that come. Stevie Wonder could see that coming. So he pulled him off. Miz is like, oh! He acted like he made some kind of mistake, like he didn't know what he did. And he put Morrison back on top of Braun, but it was too late. Braun had recovered, as if they were going to pin him anyway. Braun kicked out. He muscled out of it. Strowman gave Miz a choke slam. Morrison a power slam for the win. Thanks for coming. You're new. You're not new, but you're former tag team champions. Chumps. Reduced to chumps here on the show. And I look at the SmackDown roster and I say, who are the top heels on SmackDown, right? The Fiend, maybe The Fiend, but we haven't seen him in a while. We've got AJ Styles, I guess, who's the Intercontinental Champion. We've got, who else? Who are the top? Oh, Sheamus. I guess Sheamus, right? The point is, they have a problem on SmackDown. They don't have a lot of strong heels right now on SmackDown. And certainly after this, I don't know that I could take either one of these guys seriously in that role anyway. But you would think they would be taking steps to kind of address that issue. And instead, they took these two guys and they turned them into complete chumps here on this show. Seems counterproductive to me. At least it was over quickly. No Fiend. We didn't see the Fiend. The lights didn't go out. We didn't hear the laugh. But he's coming, because there ain't nobody else. So, of course, by process of elimination, I don't know if it'll be Extreme Rules, I don't know if it'll be SummerSlam, but it'll be The Fiend, it'll be Braun, and hopefully this Braun thing will be over at that point, because this ain't working. This is not working. Darth Smoke. What's going on, Darth Smoke? Thank you for the 10. Scorpio Sky's well-trimmed beard is joining us tonight. DC Big Oso Ya. It's quite the name. says, yeah, let's not get into golden showers here, shall we? James Forkham. What's going on, James? Wilfredo Flores and Bryant Becerra with the $18 drop. John Falchetta, Ant McCall, Rodimus Prime. Man, we're rocking and rolling here tonight. We got a lot of people here, all the usual faces. I don't see them every week on the streams, but I usually see them once a month for all the big pay-per-views. I only wish I had a better pay-per-view to review for you, but you're having fun anyway, right? Everyone's having a good time. Well, the good news is that we are now at the point in the show where the show began to redeem itself a little bit. By this point in the show, I was ready to tap out. I just felt like I had completely wasted my time watching this. This show sucked up until this point. And then we got Drew McIntyre defending the WWE Championship against the almighty Bobby Lashley. The almighty Bobby Lashley. Lashley's first crack at the title, we were told, in 13 years. I believe that would have been the match he had with John Cena. Great American Bash, maybe? I think it was right after the Benoit stuff. Lashley comes out. McIntyre comes out second. And before the bell, he ambushes McIntyre, locks him in the full Nelson. So he ambushes him, locks him in the full Nelson, would not let go. I like that. I like that intensity. I mean, the guy's fighting for the championship. Go after the champion. The bell hasn't rung. The announcers played it up well. They made you think that maybe we might get an early finish here. If he puts this guy out and then the bell rings, he might be able to, you know, go home early. We might actually have a new champion. So, oh, my goodness gracious. Paul Hamilton, look at this. My brother Paul, joining us with the $100 Super Chat. You are a crazy SOB. You are indeed a crazy SOB.
Paul Hamilton, you are the man. Yes, you are.
I love Paul. Paul is a great supporter of the show every week, and I hope he's doing well with all the craziness in the world going on. Paul, thank you, man. That means a lot. Now I'm in a great mood. So these two guys went out there, and I thought that they had... I really did enjoy this match. The only part of it I didn't enjoy, and I don't think Drew McIntyre enjoyed it either, to be honest with you. He almost killed Drew McIntyre. Poor Drew McIntyre. So Lashley is outside the ring, and he gets McIntyre on his shoulders. And I guess the idea was that he was going to kind of throw him or walk him into the post. Drew's a big guy. Drew McIntyre is a big man. I mean, so is Bobby Lashley. But Drew McIntyre is a big guy, and he couldn't quite hang on to him. He lost his balance. And he tried. He tried to not drop him right on his head, but he dropped him right on his head. They both fell over, and Drew McIntyre, he fell right on top of his head. Drew was 6'5" coming into this match. He goes home tonight 6'3". Poor Drew McIntyre. Could have been a lot worse. Lashley went for a spear on the outside. McIntyre, though, caught him and launched him into the barricade. There was a reverse Alabama slam by McIntyre for a near fall. Lashley got McIntyre trapped at a crossface. He got out of that, and he got Lashley in a tombstone. I thought he was going to hit it. He got Bobby Lashley up in position for a tombstone pile driver. And as he was going to do the move, Lashley reversed it into an ankle lock. They went back and forth. I enjoyed this whole sequence. This whole part of the match here I really enjoyed. And then it was McIntyre's turn to show off his own submission chops. He got Lashley in a Kimura lock. Lashley escaped. McIntyre hit a superplex. These two big guys, right, coming off the top rope for the superplex. That's that's some beef coming off the top rope there for the superplex. McIntyre was counting down for the Claymore. Got caught by a spear. That was a close near fall. And that was Lana's cue. Now, we knew we were going to see Lana tonight. I was banking on it. In fact, I mapped this whole thing out exactly as I laid it out. That's exactly how it played out tonight on pay-per-view. And I don't have no crystal ball. I don't have no magic eight ball. I just have a little something called common sense. I know it's sorely lacking, especially in this company. But common sense would dictate that Lana was going to get involved here, and she was going to factor into the finish because Drew McIntyre should not be losing the WWE Championship. Not yet. too soon. But you also don't want to, not beat Bobby Lashley. You were going to beat him, but you don't want to beat him in a decisive way. You want him to come out of it still kind of strong, because he looked really strong in this match. So down to the ring comes Lana. She gets up on the apron. She starts yelling at the referee that he cheated. I guess she was talking about Drew. I don't know. She was yelling at the referee like the referee cheated. What was this, the NBA? I don't know what she was talking about here. She was yelling about somebody cheating. And anyway, McIntyre gave Lashley a headbutt. Lashley bumped into his wife, knocked his wife off the apron. She fell onto MVP on the outside. So Lana is down. Lashley turns around, and sure enough, he walks into a Claymore kick. 1, 2, 3, and Drew McIntyre retains the WWE Championship. Exactly as I said it would go down when I did the predictions, you know, and this is what should have happened. I know there were some people crapping on the finish. I was looking at my replies, and people were like, that sucked. You know, that was as bad as the double count out in the Asuka match. No, it wasn't. This was the best possible outcome that you could have had that benefited both men. You could have just had Drew completely dominate Lashley, but you need guys on that Raw brand. So you don't want to, you know, destroy Bobby. They've taken all these weeks to build up his credibility and align him with MVP. You don't want to undo all of that. So how do you keep him kind of strong while still beating him? Well, you have his wife come out. You have his wife come out, and she provides the distraction. He turns around, wham, gets kicked in the face, gets pinned. Now he can pin it on her, and here's the best part of this. Here's the best part, and this is why I pitched it in the first place, because now, hopefully, this will build to divorce court, and they can end this stupid angle and all this stupid stuff with Lana and Lashley. So everybody wins. Don't you see the genius of it? Everybody wins. Drew wins. I mean, he literally won. Bobby Lashley wins because he still comes out of it looking strong, and he's got a built-in excuse about why he lost. And it leads to the end of this stupid storyline with he and Lana. Everybody wins. It was the only way to go. It really was the best possible finish here in this match. And I thought up to this point in the show, this was the best thing. Up to this point in the pay-per-view, this was the best thing on the entire show. Aside from the one botch where he almost killed Drew. This was a hoss fight. Just two big guys beating the hell out of each other. Both guys worked hard, and it wound up being a very good match. Stadium J, looking forward to a rematch about Drew and Lashley. I agree. Emmanuel Medhane, shout out to him. Jared M with the $20. Jared, a fellow New Yorker. Michael Dunn, D.C. Solid Monster with the auto-tune. Just made T-Pain look like T-Lame. Well, T-Pain gets paid a lot more than I do, I can tell you that much. Jay Green with the two. And Paul Hamilton again, thank you. That means a lot. What followed next is, I think, what happens when WWE takes a concept, they beat it into the ground, and also, it's what happens, frankly, when you don't drug test your writing team. We know the talent is subjected to the wellness policy. Tonight was proof positive that the writers and the executives in this company, the brain trust in WWE, they are not. They're like Brock Lesnar. They're like The Undertaker. They are like Triple H. They are exempt. They are exempt from drug testing, because if you gave these guys a piss test like they gave a piss test to Jeff Hardy on Friday, I guarantee you they wouldn't have passed. What the fuck did I watch? What the hell was this? I thought we were getting a tag team championship match. 4, 5, 6 weeks of vignettes and skits and games and axe throwing and arrow throwing and bowling. What else have they done? They did like shot put, the decathlon. They did golf and mini golf. So I said, well, we're going to get the wrestling match. These are the tag team champions. Shouldn't these guys want to go after the titles? I mean, what is all this nonsense? I've enjoyed some of the segments. Some of the other ones I didn't think were that funny. Of all the matches to give the cinematic treatment to, they gave it to this match. Because they love their cinematic matches. I used to love the cinematic matches until tonight. They killed it for me. They killed it. Like having a pet goldfish. They took that goldfish and they threw it on the floor and they stomped on it. They killed my goldfish. That's what they did tonight. They're getting ready for this Raw Tag Team title match. They say there's some kind of commotion outside in the parking lot. There's something going on. Something's going on in the parking lot. They go outside and we see the Street Profits and the Viking Raiders, and they're having a giant brawl on the parking lot. And sure enough, in the course of this brawl, Braun Strowman's car, his Plymouth National, his most coveted possession, is sitting right there. And it gets smashed again. The windshield gets smashed. They all get nervous, like a couple of school kids, and they go running back into the building. Cameras follow them in, and that's when the music started. And I realize, oh no, we're getting a movie. We're not getting a match. We're getting a movie. Now, I like these guys. Montez Ford is very entertaining. And the Street Profits. Give some love to Angelo Dawkins, too. These guys have made the most, I think, or tried to, of the skits and the segments that they've been in over the last several weeks. Eric and Ivar. Boy, they've come a long way from War Machine in Ring of Honor. This is not War Machine. I don't know what this is. This is the WWE version of War Machine. With the turkey legs, acting all dumb, like they don't know what this is, they don't know what that is. But this is what WWE does. Gotta have entertainment, we gotta have sports entertainment. They take the Viking Raiders. They've made the most of it. I thought that this was shit. I thought this had no place being on this pay-per-view. I thought this was just a waste of time. I was not into this. I was not a fan of this. I really didn't like this. I guess what I'm trying to say at the end of the day is I really didn't like this. And it's stuff like this that really brought the pay-per-view down. Because this was comedy, right down to the goofy music. Who is this geared towards? I mean, I guess little kids, I guess. Are little kids watching Backlash at 9 o'clock at night? What kind of parent would subject their child to Backlash at 9 o'clock at night? That's child abuse. You should have your children taken away from you. Child services should be called on you immediately. I don't know who this was for. Not for me. They're out there. Raiders have shields and swords. The Viking Raiders are running away from them. They've got golf clubs in their hands. They decide to stop and they decide to turn around. And then they start kind of wrestling. One guy, I think it was Ivar, has a bowling ball. Play off the bowling skit that they did. At one point, there was a dream sequence. They had a couple of them where Ivar is dreaming about the competitions they've had. And he's dreaming about the bowling. And he's dreaming about, you know, chewing down or chowing down on a turkey leg. I'm like, what the fuck is this? Who comes up with this? Who writes this shit? Bruce? Is this what we have to look forward to? More of this? I can't even blame Bruce. Heyman was the one doing the Raw stuff over the last 6 weeks when all this shit was going down. So they're going at it. They end up in the parking lot again. The whole anything you could do, we can do better. They're just going back and forth with all this nonsense. And as they're in the parking lot, all of a sudden this motorcycle gang shows up. And I swear to you, one of the guys, when they showed him with the helmet on, maybe it was Tozawa, but at first I thought it was EC3. I looked at the eyes. I said, oh no, don't tell me that. But then I looked, he was too small to be EC3. And EC3 would have to be out of his mind to agree to come back and re-sign with this company. If EC3 decided to come back and re-sign with WWE, then he gets exactly what he deserves. So I don't want to hear any sympathy for EC3 if he ends up coming back to WWE. None. Whatsoever. But it wasn't EC3. Thankfully for him, it wasn't EC3. The guy takes his helmet off, and it's Akira Tozawa. And he's saying stuff in Japanese, and these guys in like ninja costumes. I guess this was a playoff Fast and the Furious, I guess. This to me was like a mix of Rush Hour and Fast and Furious. I don't know. It was some kind of amalgamation of these different things. And Tozawa was like, anything you could do, I can do better. And he tossed his helmet to Ivar. He threw it to the side. And they just fought the ninjas. Like they were the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and they're fighting the foot soldiers off, and they're beating all these guys up. It was this whole cinematic movie fight scene sequence. So when all the ninjas are knocked out, Tokyo Drift, okay, Domination Warriors says Tokyo Drift. The one Fast and Furious from the early part of the series I didn't see. Anyway. So they had to wipe out all the ninjas. And then, like something out of a cheesy 80s movie, we have the Street Profits and the Viking Raiders, and they do the jump in the air, and then they do the freeze frame, and they, like, slap hands, really cheesy shit. And Tozawa, he reemerges, and he's got this giant man. I don't know for sure who it was. I know they have that guy that... Is it Babatunde or Babatunde or whatever his name is? He's this gigantic guy that they have at the Performance Center in Developmental. It might have been him under the mask. He never took the mask off, so I'm not sure. I would imagine there aren't too many people that look like him. It may have been him under the mask. So, like, he's Tozawa's giant, and he has a sword. And Ivar's going to fight him with a turkey. This, you know what? I can't even believe I'm talking about this. This is all bullshit. This is all nonsense. What am I saying? What am I doing? What am I talking about? I just got done watching Daniel Bryan and AJ Styles tear the house down on SmackDown on Friday night. Now I'm talking about fucking swords and turkey legs and ninjas. Don't we already have ninjas? We had the Lucha Ninjas on NXT. What is with this company's obsession with ninjas? Too many ninjas. We already have the Dark Order on AEW. That's more than enough. And I wish we didn't have that. If there's one thing WWE does not need right now, it is ninjas. So they run away. They run away from the big scary guy, and there's a whole bunch of boxes that just are conveniently set up for them to walk on up onto the top of a semi-truck, the WWE truck. And so now they're on the roof of the truck running away, and there's a dumpster down below, and they end up falling into the dumpster, or Ivar does a cannonball into the dumpster. This whole fucking segment belongs in the dumpster. They all wake up, they hear a weird noise, and they look, and we see fucking Godzilla's tail waving around. I guess an alligator. They're in Florida, right? So it would be an alligator, a crocodile. I don't know what the difference is. Looked like Godzilla to me. I wish Godzilla would go stomping through the Performance Center and it would have just teared everything up. So they ran off, and then they had a very abrupt end to the segment, and that was it. That was the end. And they just moved on. The announcers just moved on. They're like, well, you know what this means. I guess we're not getting a tag team championship match tonight. I guess we're not, Tom. Yeah, I guess not. You know what I hope? I hope they left those tag team titles in the dumpster. Because that's where they belong. They belong in the fucking trash. I hope they left the belts in the dumpster. That's exactly where they belong. Lord Frieza is watching the stream tonight. Garrus Vicarion, Chris Ludek with the $10, talking about if Lashley and Brock never left WWE in the mid-2000s, do you think they would ever main event WrestleMania for the title? If so, who wins? You know, if both guys never left the company, possible. You know, Brock left in 04, Lashley bailed in beginning of 08, I think is when he left. Probably not, I'm going to say, but you never know. Crazy RC, what's going on? Thank you for the $10. You are singing Save This Pay-Per-View. No, it didn't, but that's very nice of you to say that. A. Lavelle and Chaotic Dragon 1000. And last but not least, for now, Gavin Amy with the $6 Super Chat drop. Well, it was time. It was now time for the greatest wrestling match ever between Edge and Randy Orton. All of the hype around this match, it's been nauseating. Imagine how Edge and Randy Orton must have felt. Imagine how they must have felt when they found out that they're promoting this as the greatest match ever. Edge told ESPN, if it were up to him, he never would have done that, because it just puts this ridiculous amount of pressure. And on the podcast, I said, it will not be the greatest wrestling match ever. There is no such thing as the greatest wrestling match ever. You ask 30 different people. You ask 100 different people. You're going to get 100 different answers. It doesn't exist. But I think these two guys are going to go in there, I said, and they'll have a very good match. All they have to do is just make me forget about their WrestleMania match. That's all, as a fan, that's all I was looking for. Just make me forget about the WrestleMania match. It was too long. It was plotting. It was boring. The last man standing stipulation really hurt it. Now we get a straight wrestling match. But a long time since Edge has had just a straight regular wrestling match. No weapons, no smoke and mirrors. You know, can he hold up? That was the question coming into this show. They told us right from the very beginning that we were going to have unique camera angles. And we did. We had some different camera angles. There was an overhead camera. There was kind of like a close-in camera they had. I thought the camera angles were fine. I thought those were cool. They said, we're going to have amplified audio for this match. Well, amplified audio was really just code for piped-in crowd noise, because I don't care how energetic the NXT people were. And you could see they were making noise. They were clapping. They were really into it. They were making noise. But it was so obvious from the moment Edge walked out for his entrance. I'm like, wait a minute. Either they let a lot more people into the PC, or they're piping in crowd noise for this match. And I said, well, strategically, if they pipe a little bit in here, a little bit in there, maybe it won't be so noticeable, and maybe it'll sound okay. Yeah. As they love to do, they went overboard with it. And multiple times during the match, it didn't ruin the match for me, but they went way overboard with the piped in crowd noise. It was so obvious. I mean, at least try to make it not so obvious, but no, it was very obvious. But what they did at the beginning here, I heard the voice of God from above, and his name is Howard Finkel. And I instantly became a fan of what they were doing here, because they lowered from the ceiling the old Madison Square Garden, like old school from the 70s and the 80s, Madison Square Garden microphone. That clunky kind of yellow mic they would lower from the ceiling that Howard Finkel used to use. And they lowered it from the ceiling and they piped in old intros that Howard Finkel had done for Randy Orton and for Edge, announcing their hometown, announcing, you know, their names. And it was good to hear the Fink's voice, because just hearing his voice makes the match feel that much more special. You know, there are some good ring announcers in wrestling right now. I think that Justin Roberts is very good. I think Greg Hamilton in WWE is very good. You know, Mike Rome, he's also good. He's not bad. But nobody compares to Howard Finkel. There is nobody that just by the sound of his voice can make a match feel special like Howard Finkel. And I'm really glad that they found a way to incorporate him and make this, you know, make him a part of this match. I thought that was very nice. I thought that was very classy on their part. Charles Robinson was in there. He was the referee. And he gave them pre-match instructions like it was a boxing fight or an MMA fight. He had the old school WWF blue long sleeve referee shirt with the bow tie. They didn't have the red, white, and blue ropes. If you're gonna go old school, you got to have the red, white, and blue ring ropes. So they worked the match very much like an old school wrestling match very early on. A lot of mat wrestling, a lot of arm drags, a lot of gamesmanship. There was a trip on a drop down where Orton, you know, dropped down, tripped up Edge as he was kind of jumping up over him, and Edge went rolling out to the floor. So they were out on the apron, and Edge gave Randy a headbutt. He gave Randy Orton a headbutt, and he opened him up. Looked hard way, looked somewhere around the eye. So he busted up Orton. Wouldn't be an old school match without some blood, right? If it were Cody Rhodes, he would definitely be bleeding. Orton then turned his attention to Edge's neck, and this became a focal point of the match. And this is where Samoa Joe, I think, really shined in this match. I mean, he shined up and down the card. But I thought Samoa Joe really shined in this match, talking about the neck, you know, just talking about how Orton is trying to break him down and Edge isn't all there. He's not himself. Look at the look. He's got a faraway look in his eyes. Joe was on point. He really was. He was on point here in this match with that stuff. And Randy was throwing him neck first into the plexiglass. He was throwing him neck first into the ring steps. Now, he was abusing this guy. At one point, I don't know how many of you picked up on this, but at one point, Orton whispered into Edge's ear, and he goes, "I'm going to fucking kill you." And I was like, that's kind of personal. We have a personal issue. If only they didn't turn this into a clown show with weeks of dumb promotion. Imagine that. Imagine if they would have just promoted, these two guys don't like each other. They've got a history together. Orton has said to Edge, "You know what? Yeah, you beat me at WrestleMania, but you use weapons and you use chairs and stuff. You can't beat me in a wrestling match. You know why? Because you're old and you're broken down and you haven't had a match in 9 years. You can't beat me." That's all you had to do. Instead of going, "Oh, the greatest match ever. It's the greatest match ever," and building up everyone's expectations for it. Orton glanced up at the heavens at one point, and he went for the Three Amigos on Edge as a tribute to Eddie Guerrero. Edge cut him off. He hit the trio himself. There was a huge superplex off the top by Orton. That's when they got this close-up camera angle as they came off the top. I thought that was cool. And both guys, they hit the ropes at one point. Both went for a crossbody. They collided. They went down. Edge went up to the top. Orton cut him off. Went for a draping DDT. Edge countered into an execution. Crawls over, makes the cover. Orton gets a shoulder up. And at this point in the match, this became the pattern. And I think they went a little overboard. Didn't ruin the match, but I think you could have shaved some of these near falls off here because it was just, I mean, this was the classic case of the match that people complain about when they talk about the little flippy wrestlers and the NXT guys or AEW. Everybody kicks out of their finishers. I want to see those same people criticize Edge and Orton because they did the exact same thing here in this match. You were either of the opinion that it doesn't bother you and it adds to the drama, or you got to be consistent. And if you don't like it, then say so. I thought they went a little overboard with it here. It was back and forth. There was a cross face by Edge, which turned into a choke. Orton got back up to his feet, hit an angle slam for a near fall. They were using so many different finishing moves. Eddie Guerrero, Kurt Angle, Bret Hart, Christian. The Rock. We saw a rock bottom. Edge gave him a rock bottom at one point. I felt like I was watching an old Eugene match where he would just hit everybody's finishing move. They were paying tribute, I guess, to all of these guys. Edge went for the unprettier, or I guess the kill switch it would be. Orton slipped out. Edge hit the Edge-O-Matic for a near fall. Edge did hit the kill switch about a minute later. Only got a 2 out of it. I like that because it plays into Christian's involvement on the Peep Show segment from Raw last Monday. So I like that. I like that they worked that move into the mat. And also, don't forget, Christian is one of Randy Orton's greatest opponents. The program and the matches that Randy Orton and Christian had back in 2011 were some of the best in the company all year, outside of Cena and Punk. 2011 was all about Orton and Christian. They had some great matches together. So I like that this kind of came off to me as being something of a little tribute to that. I don't know if that was the intent. I was watching the whole time to see if I could pick up on where Edge got hurt. I couldn't figure it out. There was a hangman attempt. He dropped Edge. Edge didn't get draped over neck first, but he landed kind of on his arm. I thought maybe that was where he got hurt. I don't know where it was. Edge wasn't selling an arm injury. It's very possible he didn't know he was hurt until the match was over. So we'll find out probably soon enough. I don't know where the injury happened. But they were, like I said, they were hitting finisher after finisher. They were trading near falls back and forth, back and forth. Orton finally hit the RKO. Samoa Joe screamed. He screamed on commentary. His levels. I have levels in front of me right now. His levels went off the chart. Edge kicked out. Barely, but he kicked out. So Orton was going for the punt. He was desperate. He was going for the punt. He got speared. Edge hit him with a second spear. Orton kicked out. Edge came off the middle rope for what looked to be a crossbody. Orton caught him. Again, I love it because that was the finish. When Orton beat Christian and won the World Heavyweight title, was it a few days after Christian won the championship, everybody had a meltdown. People were pissed. That was how the match ended. Christian came off the ropes. He got caught in RKO. and Orton won the championship away from him. I like that. Edge went to the head and arm choke, and as he's got Orton in this choke, Orton looked like he went low. Took his knee, right in the balls, and Orton went for the punt kick, and he hit it. We don't get to see the punt kick very often. That was cool. Busting out the punt kick as the big payoff in this match. I loved it. I thought that was great. He got the pin. And so Randy Orton wins the greatest wrestling match ever, which of course was not the greatest wrestling match ever. But you know what it was? I thought it was an excellent match that saved this show. It didn't save the show, but what it saved the show from was probably being the absolute worst pay-per-view of the year. And you know what? It may still be. It may still be the worst WWE pay-per-view of the year. I'd have to go back and look at some of the other ones. This match was an excellent professional wrestling match. These guys worked a very smart match. I love the little tributes they worked into it. And it just made sense for Randy Orton to come away the winner in this match, not just because Edge won the first one. And if they want to have a round three, that would be the rubber match. But it made sense because, first of all, it sets up Randy Orton now to challenge Drew McIntyre at some point for the WWE title. Orton's sticking around. Edge is not going to be around full-time. All of a sudden, Randy now can lay claim to being number one contender. He got a big win. You know, Seth Rollins is going to be occupied with Rey Mysterio and all that, so it could be Orton after Lashley. It could be Orton next in line. But also, the whole story was Edge didn't have to win. It wasn't about, I have to win. You already won. Edge proved he can win at WrestleMania. All he had to do was hang. Right? That was the whole story coming into the match. Can I hang? I haven't had a match like this in 9 years. Straight wrestling match. Hold for hold, move for move. Can I hang with him? The answer is yes. He lost, but the answer is yes. That was the whole story. So the outcome to me, it was the right outcome. It made total sense. I loved the main event. And aside from the WWE title match, I hated the show. I hated the rest of the show. And like I said at the beginning, I can't bring myself to go higher than, you know, maybe 5 out of 10. You know, and even that, frankly, might be a little on the generous side. It was not a good show. But if you just look at it as it was a one-match show coming in with the promotion and everything, and all you were focused on was Orton and Edge, then you know what? You probably felt like you got your money's worth and you got a hell of a pay-per-view. I thought this pay-per-view as a whole was no good. This was a thumbs-down show. But do you guys agree? Let us see. Let us find out if you guys agree with that assessment, or maybe I'm in the minority on this. Let's see. Interesting. 2,000 votes in so far in the Twitter poll. 54% thumbs up, 45% thumbs down. So right now, It's not a clear-cut winner, but right now you guys say that this was a thumbs-up pay-per-view, and I wonder, you know, how many people are just rating it strictly on the main event. It could just be that people love that main event, and they said, you know what? This whole match was built around the greatest wrestling match ever, and the match turned out to be pretty damn good. I will not say that this was a worse backlash than the one where Jinder Mahal won the championship in 2018. That was one of those all-time horrendous shows. You want to go back and listen to that review. I won't put this on par with that. But anyway, you can still vote at Solomonster. Let your voice be heard. The poll's going to be open for another 2 days. And so you guys can go ahead and you can vote. CaliKid619, thank you for the 5. Official word on Edge's injury. Torn tricep. Well, thank you. Thank you for that update, which I already knew. But thank you. Biscuit Torpedo, thank you also for chiming in. How long are you growing the solo shag? Not for much longer. This ain't going to be here for much longer. Scott Silbernagel, thank God for Solomonster making the ultimate sacrifice to watch WWE programming, which he apparently does not care to do. You know what's sad is that you are not the only person who I've heard that from. There are a lot of people who have long given up on WWE who are watching my stream, other streams tonight. They can't even stomach watching these shows. You go back and watch that Street Profits Viking Raiders thing, you can understand why. Did I tell you how much I didn't like that match? I think I did. All right. I know some of you are waiting for this. It is now time. As Howard Finkel, I can't do the Howard Finkel voice, but yeah, Howard Finkel would talk about the Royal Rumble. It is now time. It is now time for something that I know a lot of people have been waiting for. A lot of people have made their submission. And I in fact, do have a list that I'm going to incorporate. What I'm going to do here as I do this giveaway is we're giving away three championship belts, the ones you see on your screen, to one lucky winner. We're going to do it live right now. And the way in which we are going to do this, I, of course, had to excuse myself since I am hosting tonight for Wrestle Rumble and give them a visit, WrestleRumble.com. They do these every month. Not this big. This is maybe their biggest giveaway yet. But they do these pick'em contests, a lot of championship belt giveaways each month. The way this is going to work is I'm going to, in this window that you see here on your screen, we're using a list randomizer. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to paste in a list, which you should be able to see on your screen, of every single name that paid for an entry. There are over 3,000 names on this list. It is crazy. Like, if I try to scroll down this list, I mean, there's no way. I mean, you won't be able to see them all. But if you paid for an entry, and some people paid for duplicates, so you'll see duplicate names in there, everybody is here. Over 3,000 entries. I'm going to hit the randomize button. There will be a list that comes up. Since we're giving away three belts, I'm going to pick the name of the person. The winner of the contest is going to be the person who is listed at number three on this list that you are about to see. And that's it. Whoever is listed at number three, you are the winner. And Wrestle Rumble will be in touch with you to get you your championship belt. So here we go. I wish I had prepared a drum roll. I always forget. Anyway, pretend that there's a drum roll as we pick a winner. So let's see who the lucky winner is. And the lucky winner is Cecil Robinson. I see he's got two entries there. He paid for actually more than two. Cecil was not playing around here in this contest. We had a lot of people who paid for multiple entries, but you are the winner. Cecil Robinson is the winner of all three championship belts. You are the winner of perhaps the biggest Wrestle Rumble contest to date. Congratulations on your big victory. You have now won more championships in WWE than most of the people who are on that show. You have won the ECW title, the WCW title, and the WWE Classic Winged Eagle. So again, Wrestle Rumble will be in touch with you. Congratulations on your big win. And my thanks to Wrestle Rumble for allowing me to host the contest yet again. It's always very fun to be part of this, so I very much appreciate that. That was cool. I always love picking a winner. I always love picking winners out. All right. Let us shift over here, because I know a lot of people are going to have a lot of feedback to this show, and I do want to hear from some of you as we move along here tonight. Let's try to keep this to Backlash. Let's try to keep it on topic. Let's keep it pithy. Let's keep it moving along because the lines are all jammed up and I want to get to as many people as I can. And we're going to start with our good friend here in area code 321.
Hey, Solid Monster. This is Wayne. Can you hear me all right?
I can hear you just fine, Wayne.
All right, man. I just got to tell you, with Backlash, I was one of the few that voted for that it was a good one. But I wouldn't say it's like the best. I would say it's okay in terms of if it was a regular show or a house show. Like, for pay-per-view standards, I thought it could have been better.
If it was a house show, well, yeah. If it was a house show, that would have been, with that main event, that would have been a hell of a house show. But yeah, I agree. It is not. See, I think the problem is we're also in the network era where every show is $10 and these events just don't feel as special. Unless it's like WrestleMania, these things just don't feel as special as they used to because you used to have to pay $50, like for the AEW shows, you still do, right? You've got to pay $50-$60 four times a year.
Mm-hmm.
You expect something special. And now I feel like they've lost the plot on what these shows are supposed to be. And they don't. They don't feel as special as they used to.
Yeah. So, real quick, this is my one and only question, and I know you've got plenty of calls to go to, but you previously mentioned how Orton would be thrown into, like, McIntyre's next opponent, but wouldn't it make sense storyline-wise for him to get involved with Braun Strowman and Bray Wyatt, since, of course, you know, Bray Wyatt said he wanted to rewrite his own history with John Cena. What if he could rewrite his own history with Randy Orton? You know, you could have Orton beat Braun Strowman with a punt kick, and at SummerSlam, you just have Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton.
Well, I have no interest in seeing Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton again. We did that once before at WrestleMania. It sucked. It was a terrible, terrible match. And also,
what about the Fiend?
No. I have no interest in seeing that. And also, you know, Orton is on Raw. The Fiend is on SmackDown. So unless one guy's going to get traded, or with this Bruce Pritchard stuff, they're going to merge the rosters or something. He's not even on the same show. So. You could do it at some point, but I don't see that happening anytime soon. It's going to be Braun and The Fiend, and Orton's on a different brand, and you know what? I like it that way. They should be kept apart.
Well, do you think he'll be lost in, with the whole Lashley, and potentially if Brock Lesnar comes back for SummerSlam, do you think he'll get lost into that and he'll just be forgotten?
No, I mean, he's Randy Orton. I don't think he's going to be. He's like Charlotte Flair. Is Charlotte Flair going to be forgotten? There are some people in this company who are made people who are always going to have their spot. Randy Orton's not the kind of person I think that you just forget. So I think Orton will be fine. And if he doesn't go right into a feud with Drew, I could see that as being the SummerSlam match. Drew did an interview the other day, and he said he wants to face Randy Orton at SummerSlam. So... it's not like the idea isn't out there. They want to do the match. They've now set things up for him to defend against Randy Orton if that's the direction they want to go in. 520.
Hey, Solomon Monster. Are you doing better from this show that I heard was horrible? I didn't get a chance to watch it.
I'm doing better just because I just reviewed the main event, which was really the only saving grace of this show. It was actually a very good match, but the rest of the pay-per-view, you did not miss much.
Yeah, I have my own YouTube channel, so I am going to have to go back and watch it. Give me a heads up real quick. Did Edge look like he was missing any beats when it came to being in the ring?
No, he looked like they did... kind of a methodical match for a while where he was working on the neck, and then it really picked up and he hung with them and they were in there. I didn't get the final time, but it had to be somewhere in the 30-35 minute range. And he hung in there with them every step of the way. So I know that's the story they told going in. Can he hang? But, you know, it's not like when he showed up at the Rumble or showed up at WrestleMania, he looked like he had a lot of ring rust. So I never doubted he could still... you know, have a long match. I thought he did fine. I thought they both looked good.
Yeah. That makes me happy to hear. Before I continue with this other play there's 2 points I want to make. One of them, before I continue with one of them,
right, we'll make it quick.
Did Foley really say those ridiculous comments about Nia Jax? I'm with you if he actually did.
Yeah, no, he did. He did an interview. I think it was with TalkSport, and he felt the need. Yeah, Mick is a big fan of the women. He's always been big defenders of the women. He's watched their work, and maybe he feels like this overprotective father, you know, but the fact that he would feel compelled to come out and say Nia Jax is a very good worker and she's a very good character and she's this and she's that, it's just his perspective is different. He's a wrestler. I'm not a wrestler. I'm a fan. You're a fan. As a fan, I disagree. And I don't think she has any business being in the mix. I don't think she has any business being in the main mix on Monday Night Raw. Just because she's big, so what? So what?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I actually saw it coming way back when she was first drafted to the main roster, back when they did the brand split again. I went on a little bit of a rant saying, because I knew that she was limited and that she needed more time, and I... said back in 2016, why are they putting her on the main roster? It's only going to be bad news. And ever since then, I've only been proven right. So yeah. I hate to be right sometimes.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, I'm going to let you go, but it doesn't, it just doesn't, I don't know. It doesn't. When I see her in the ring and I see her in there, whether it's Asuka or whether it's Kairi Sane or whoever it might be, there's nothing about her other than the fact that she's bigger than the other women, and they book her as like the monster of the division. You know, like what Monster Ripper used to be, Ronda Singh in Japan. But Ronda Singh was a very good professional wrestler. She played the part. Now, when she came to WWE, they turned her into a joke. They gave her Bertha Faye. A lot of people might not know that when she wasn't in WWE, she was, you know, terrorizing a lot of the women that she would work with. It's like the Bushwhackers when they were the sheep herders. These guys would go around murdering people. In WWE, they had the Hongi. Right? I mean, everybody remembers the Bushwhackers in WWE, right? They come down, right? They do the Bushwhackers march. They'd lick people. They wouldn't lick me. The Bushwhackers would not work in the era of COVID. They would not be able to go around licking people. That would not work out too well. I don't know how I got on the subject of the Bushwhackers. I was talking about Nia Jax. Maybe if Nia Jax becomes a Bushwhacker, maybe then I can actually tolerate watching her on television. I don't know. 443.
Hey, Jason. It's Kyle. How you doing?
Hey, Kyle.
So the only match I could look forward to was the opener. That match was good. It was very short. I was actually kind of doing other stuff during this match, so I kind of missed part of it, but I didn't watch it. So it seemed longer to me, but I just enjoyed that. This, you know, the women's division on both brands has been very, very weak, and to me, Banks is the top star right now. I'd say take the place of Becky Lynch, but be a top star in that in the women's division who can be that face of the division. And I said before, I do like them as tag team champions, and it's cool to see it, but they're going to defend the titles on NXT. They probably will lose it there. Then,
well, I hope
so. I'm just waiting for that to happen.
Yeah, I mean,
Sasha Banks to me will be the face of the division. Not saying that she'll take the face of Becky Lynch because no one can, and I love Becky to death. But Sasha's the, I guess, top two.
Yeah, listen, Sasha's going to get her moment. They're doing the long game here with the story with Bayley. She'll get her moment. I enjoy watching Sasha Banks for a whole variety of reasons. Sasha Banks is great. We need to get her on TV more often. We still don't get enough. You know, she's part of the whole tag team thing now, so obviously the focus is not entirely on her. When you think about how long she's been on the main roster, you know, she's been on the main roster now for, what, 5 years? Almost 5 years? How this woman is not in the position that Becky Lynch was in, how this woman is not, like, the premier female-focused, like, female performer in the company is beyond me. Because I look at her and I say there's money there. Whether it's a heel, a babyface, they have dropped the ball over the last few years on Sasha Banks big time. They've gone all in on Charlotte. They went all in on Becky, and now Becky is gone. And my hope is that we'll start to see Sasha utilize in a way that I think is worthy of how she should be utilized. I think she's still being underutilized. Bayley has been a revelation in a lot of ways on SmackDown. I've really become a big fan of her work as the obnoxious heel champion. I think the Performance Center era has been very kind to Bayley. Hasn't been kind to a lot of people, but to her, I think it's actually worked, you know, to her advantage, especially when she yells at Michael Cole. I do enjoy that. I do enjoy it when everybody does give Michael Cole an earful. Rican Son, what's going on? Thank you for the $5. Should Mr. Wrestling 2 be an episode for season 3 of Dark Side of the Ring? After what I read about him and I talked about earlier, yeah, I'd say so. That was quite the shocking revelation that I had not been aware of, and I don't see everybody talking about it. It's almost like it's being ignored by some people, which is kind of interesting, but I don't see how you could ignore something like that when you're involved in what he was involved in. I don't care how young he was. Sean, who is this here? Sean Pilcher. Sean Pilcher with the $5. Thank you. John Felchetta. Modern Mogul Entertainment. Have you done Wrestle Rumble raffles? Have I participated or have I hosted? I've done both. Wrestle Rumble's, he's good people. He's a good dude. And Cecil, our winner, Cecil Robinson. So happy that I won. Been watching your show since the fall of 2011. Love your work. Thank you. Well, thank you. I'm very excited for you. And you'll have to take a picture and let me know when they ship those championship belts over to you. I want to see what they look like. You're going to look like Ultimo Dragon. Remember that old picture of Ultimo Dragon? He had like 8 belts. Had his arms outstretched. He had like 4 belts here, 4 belts here. I think he had a belt around his waist. Guy was dripping in gold. Let us go to 786.
Hello?
786.
I'm Chris.
Hey, Chris.
Now I got nervous.
No, you don't have to get nervous. I've been taking questions all night long. You're just another one in a long list of questions. So just let's talk about Backlash, what you thought, and what your question is.
All right, so Randy Orton, Edge. You do realize the match went on 8 minutes more longer than WrestleMania. So
that's
not helping the cause.
Didn't feel like it. Are you sure about that?
Yeah, it's on Wikipedia based on it. It says 44 minutes and 45 seconds.
You know what I'm wondering, though, now that you say that? I'm wondering if they're counting all the entrances at the beginning, right? Because they did all that, like, they had all the pomp and circumstance and stuff. I wonder if that's including the entrances or not including the entrances. But you know what? If that's true, if what you just said is true, then it just goes to show you. You don't need all the bells and whistles. You don't need the fancy stipulations, the last man standing stipulation. It killed it for me at WrestleMania. All they did tonight was have a straight wrestling match, and I thought it was great. So it just goes to show you.
Yeah. And this main event, some say they will like it, but I didn't like it because of how the sound, they made this match very artificial. And I don't like that because you'll never see that in a live arena. And good Lord, that tag team Raw match, if there was one, it goes to show you that I'm in Orlando right now, not in Miami soon, but I'm 20 minutes away to the Performance Center to beat the shit out of Vince McMahon. But apparently that is illegal to hit a child because that is a child's mindset. These people are pleasing a child, and this is for a child.
Yeah, I would definitely not drive to the Performance Center and do something like that. But I don't know. I would love to know who was involved in coming up with the idea to do that, you know, in that spot. It could have just been the usual suspects. It could have been Vince. It could have been Bruce. It could have been Michael Hayes, whoever the usual band of merry men. Who thought, hey, this would be entertaining. This would be great. This will be fantastic. They're going overboard with this movie stuff. They got to dial it back a little bit. That was just fucking ridiculous. What I saw tonight was beyond. It was beyond. Let's go to Jared. Should be Jared anyway. Jared, are you there?
I am here, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you, Jared?
Shitty pay-per-view. What can I say?
well, more importantly, What did you think of the greatest wrestling match of all time? That's what I want to know.
I'm sorry, sir, if I spoke over you.
That's
I'm
okay.
Sorry.
That's
what you mean, Steamboat versus Flair and yes. WrestleMania 9?
Shawn Michaels and the Undertaker. Yes.
Yeah, that's what you're talking about. Bret Hart versus Shawn Michaels at that's actually not even that good at WrestleMania 12. During the Survivor Series, 97 was better. But that was the only reason I tuned in. I tuned in for the last 20 minutes. I missed the rest of it. Really didn't care.
If you tuned in for the last 20 minutes, then this was probably the greatest pay-per-view of the year.
No, Jason.
You got to miss out on all of the other stuff. You didn't have to sit through the Street Profits and the Viking Raiders. You didn't have to sit through all the bullshit with Miz and Morrison and Braun and all the. If you just sat in for the last 20 or 25 minutes of this show, then that's an easy thumbs up show.
Jason, I came in at 11 o'clock. I'm like, okay, Jason's probably on by now. And I'm like, okay, fine. I'll donate my money because it was a job well done, And somebody, my wrestling fix.
Yeah, somebody in the chat says, Jared sounds ecstatic about this pay-per-view. I think he's being sarcastic, but
Jason, you know, I don't want to bring it up, and you told me you don't want your listener to bring this up during, a WWE, event. But I am an AEW guy, and I'm not a fanboy. I'm not a mark. I'm an AEW guy because it's different. It's different. They have a different mindset.
Well,
hold on.
Okay. I will play devil's advocate, and I will counter with this.
Okay.
The last AEW pay-per-view that we saw had a match that in some ways was also very over the top and kind of similar to the bullshit that we saw tonight with the Street Profits and the Viking Raiders. Now, I agree. I enjoyed that more. There was a bigger story behind it and everything. But you got to admit, there was also a lot of silly shit in that Stadium Stampede match as well, with Matt Hardy transforming into different life forms and all of this other stuff too. So what would you say to somebody who serves that up as an example, as a counter example?
I would say if that's the first AEW match you're ever watching, congratulations. I mean, that's a great match to watch. I mean, you got 10 guys going at it in a big $80,000 stadium. Yeah, I win. But, the greatest of all time as of now, great Chris Jericho. And our favorite, Sammy Guevara. Come on, Jason. Sammy Guevara, you've been tooting his horn for the last couple of weeks. Come on.
All right, but let's bring it back to Backlash. So just to kind of sum it up, from what you did see, just like bottom line it for me, what were your thoughts about what you saw from the Orton and Edge match? What did you not like? What did you like?
It's what I expected.
Okay.
I expected in 2008 and in 2020. That's what I expected.
Okay.
I mean, what did you expect?
I'm gonna just let you go. I expected a very good professional wrestling match. That's what I said earlier today. I said it today. I said it Friday when I did my predictions. I said I don't want to take it out on these guys because it's not fair to them. All of the overhype and everything else, it's not fair to them. They've already been saddled with this dumb tagline. I thought they were going to go out there and have a very good match, and that's what they did. In fact, they exceeded my expectations. I enjoyed the match more than I thought it would. Could I have done with some of the the kickouts and stuff like that? Sure, but I thought that they did a very good job with it, and I was impressed. I was impressed, and Edge, kudos to him. 9 years away, goes out there and can still have a match like that, which can't be easy to do in front of a fake crowd. I say fake, but it's not an arena full of people. I mean, think about this. If you're Edge, right? You get the news that you can come back, right? You've got to be on cloud nine because now you've been told that you're allowed to come back. This is what you've wanted to do your whole career. You love it. You're just so ecstatic that you're going to come back and you're going to make this big surprise return at the Royal Rumble, right? In a baseball stadium, 50, 60,000 people. And he has this great return. What was it, in Houston, right? Minute Maid Park, this great return. And then it all went to shit. The whole world went to shit. He's going to come back and have a WrestleMania match, and it's in an empty building in front of no people. So he doesn't get to come out and get that big pop. You know that had to bother him, right? Now he's coming back. He's still wrestling in empty buildings. There's no people to play off of. There's no big arenas with sold-out crowds. He's not getting his pyro when he goes like this. And on top of that, he goes to Backlash and tears his triceps. And now he may need surgery. He could be out for many months. I don't know that this return is necessarily gone the way that Edge had hoped it would have gone. Or if he was going to come back, that he wouldn't have just held off a little while longer. Ever since the Rumble, it's just one thing after another, and the circumstances have not helped. These are not the circumstances I think Edge wanted to come back to when he made his big return. 276.
So, what's up?
Going on?
What's up, man? It's the Drewski. just to play off the last caller, man, I love you, man, but you can't play devil's advocate and try to tell me the stadium stampede is the same thing as that bullshit we watched tonight.
No, I didn't say it was. I didn't say it was the same thing. I was playing devil's advocate because, you know, people who don't like AEW are going to throw it back in people's faces and say, no, wait a minute. If you didn't like the Street Profits and the Viking Raiders, well, then how is that different than the Stadium Stampede and all the stuff Matt Hardy was doing? I gave him the chance to try to refute that.
You can
that
say what Matt Hardy was doing, or you can say, oh, people like Jim Cornette hates that. They did the thing over, they did the line thing over Chris Jericho. But we watched the fucking alligator scare the shit out of four wrestlers in
Godzilla.
A dumpster.
Godzilla.
Yeah, Godzilla. Mm-hmm. Give me a break. The rest of that pay-per-view sucked, too. Every match, they're talking about disqualifications. Like you said earlier, man, you see that shit on TV.
Yeah. Look, I didn't like it. You're preaching to the choir here. I didn't like it either, and I thought it was really stupid. I just thought it had no place being on this pay-per-view. It had no business. The cinematic treatment, you got to save that for special things. Yeah, the Boneyard match, Money in the Bank. Okay, that, you know, on top of Titan Tower. That's at least something big. It's something special. Now they're just getting too cute for their own good. And I'm watching this, and it's going on and on and on. I mean, this fucking thing might have been longer than the Boneyard match. I have to go back and see how long it went. Then they just cut away, and they're like, well, gee, I guess we're not getting a tag team title match. I said it before, I'll say it again. Take the titles and put them in a dumpster. That's where they belong. Take the giant silver dollars and throw them in the dumpster. Because who could possibly take the tag team title seriously on Monday Night Raw? Who cares? They're playing every game under the sun. Now they're fighting Godzilla and ninjas. What the fuck is this? What is this nonsense? So believe me, you're preaching to the choir here. You're not getting a disagreement from me. I'm just saying, you're going to get people who are going to levy that criticism. And I would be curious to know how people would refute that criticism. I think that's a fair point. 615.
Hey, so I'm Monster Sean from Tennessee. How you doing?
Good, Sean. How are you?
Doing well. Two things. The first was with Hardy and Sheamus. I mean, I didn't think it was I thought it was an okay match, but I like the Sheamus one over, like, I didn't like the storyline now that I saw the match. Do you agree with that? Because I don't know where they were going initially. I thought they had a good story, even though it was weird and the way they did it. But then, you know, you figure Sheamus had to win, and I'm glad he did because they need heels, like you said, on SmackDown because they don't have any. So where do you think they're going with Sheamus now? Do you think they're just going to have another match with Jeff, or where do you think they're going with that?
Yeah, they almost have to, right? I mean, I think if they're going to have another match, then it's fine. The story is going to hopefully lead to the big payoff, which is Jeff gets his revenge and he gets his redemption over Sheamus. If it's over at this point and there is no match, that's a shitty story. Because all you did was have Jeff Hardy paraded on television and have this guy say, you're a junkie. He has to go on TV and admit, I'm an alcoholic. You do the stupid segment with the urine test. Then he gets beat. And Sheamus moves on to Sheamus moves on to something else. That would be awful. I mean, that would be awful. It would make me think, absolutely, they did it just to shame Jeff Hardy. So I have to think, I have to hope, even though I kind of don't necessarily need to see this go on anymore, but they have to be doing a rematch. I mean, I would think Extreme Rules, some kind of, maybe an Extreme Rules match, some kind of stipulation, urine on a pole, I don't know. But yeah, I would hope that this is leading to a rematch. Otherwise, then this is a pretty bad story.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm with you on Nia. Like, Nia has no reason to be on TV. She's horrible. I don't like her at all. And then I was going to leave. How long do you think the Sasha Bailey storyline is going to go? Like, how long do you think they're going to drag it? I mean, it's been okay so far, but how long do you think they might actually go with it? SummerSlam or maybe?
Yeah, no, I think that were it not for all of the pandemic stuff, if SummerSlam was going to be in Boston this year, absolutely without question, it would have paid off there. It would have been Sasha one-on-one with Bayley at SummerSlam, Sasha's hometown, wins the championship in Boston. It's perfect. As of right now, SummerSlam is not going to be in Boston because Boston's not even opening up to events and large gatherings until at least September. So they're going to have to either do it at the PC or go find some building somewhere else. Now, WWE, they're probably going to go find a building somewhere. You know, even if they only get 25% capacity, they're already, apparently, they're already booking buildings for September. So WWE is ready to rock. They're ready to go back to buildings, even if it's not 100% capacity. From what I've read, from what I've heard, they might want to extend the Sasha Bailey stuff even longer and just take their time with it. I think you run the risk of taking a little too much time. I mean, it's been a while already. How many hints can you drop of dissension in the ranks? You know what I mean? I mean, you can't go too long with it. SummerSlam would seem to be the perfect time, but they may want to drag it out even longer. So if it's open-ended like that, they can go to WrestleMania next year if they wanted to. Entirely up to them as far as what they want to do. 202.
What up, Solid Monster? This is Dead Man Walking Garrett here.
Hey, it's Dead Man Walking. Always love hearing from Garrett. Always love hearing that Garrett is alive and well.
I appreciate it. I don't know if you have watched the Last Ride documentary that came out today. But
I did.
The face Undertaker makes in that documentary was the same face I made watching the Viking Raiders Street Profit match. I'm like, what am I watching here?
Yeah. It was something else. I think the less said about it, the better. I think I spent too much time on it as it is. I should have just skipped over the whole freaking thing and not even said a word about it.
Yeah, but when I was like seeing Akira Tozawa, and then later I see the sword, I'm like, oh no. No kind tie, choppy choppy or anything going on here, please.
God.
It was bad enough as it is.
Just awful. Just absolutely freaking ridiculous. Anything else, Gary? I mean, I'm so glad you brought up the worst segment on the entire show. I mean, surely I don't want to end the call that way. What did you think of either the main event or what do you think was the highlight of the pay-per-view? Not the low light. What was the highlight?
You know, I think that I would safe to say the main event was probably the best Randy Orton match I've seen in probably years. I can't really remember the last time that Randy actually had a good match. Well, I mean, he's probably, you know, he's been consistent when it comes to his performance, but I don't know about great all-time Randy Orton matches, so I think it's probably up to the fans or the people in the chat to make out. As according to my Twitter poll I put up to see what was the match of the week, was it Orton and Edge or Styles and Bryan? And currently the Edge and Orton match is winning by 67%. So, you know, that's a question to also give to you. What do you thought was the match of the week?
Me personally, I thought the match of the week was AJ and Bryan. I said it was going to be tough to top that match coming in. I think Edge and Orton, you know, if they didn't top it, I mean, it was in the same, you know, it was in the same sphere. Just because it was maybe longer doesn't necessarily make it better. I'm not even sure it was longer. I mean, AJ and Bryan went almost, I think, 40 minutes. So lengthwise, it was probably very comparable. I think I might have liked Styles and Bryan more. There weren't all the bells and whistles. You know what I mean? Like all the little bells and whistles and little gimmicks and shit. It was just a straight wrestling match, even more so than tonight. And it was great. And when it was over, I just felt this is going to be a very difficult match to top. I don't know that I would rank Orton and Edge above it, but it's close. They're neck and neck. See what I did there? Edge's neck, neck and edge. But yeah, I liked AJ and Bryan. If I had to pick a winner, it would be AJ and Bryan. 415.
Hey, Solid Monster. This is James from Daly City. How you doing tonight?
Good, James.
Yeah, so I thought the show was terrible for the most part, aside from the main event and the Drew and Bobby match, which I thought was better than it should have been, but we'll see what they want to pursue with that. I really thought the Street Profits and the Viking Raiders, I was expecting a match, and what we got is just, that was mud show bullshit. That was horrible.
Yeah, I just
and think this is coming from somebody who actually enjoyed the Stadium Stampede. I actually enjoyed the Stadium Stampede, contrary to Cornette, but this was just something else. It was just notoriously bad. Between the dream sequences, the turkey leg, the ninjas, I just felt like it was a big slap in the face to all of us fans.
Yeah, I just figured, you know, silly me, we saw all the funny skits and stuff on television for 6 weeks, and here we are at the pay-per-view, and on the old school, I thought it was building to a championship match at the pay-per-view. Here's the biggest problem I have with it. if you want these guys to go on TV and be goofballs, fine. Put them on television, let them be goofballs, but don't involve the titles, right? I mean, don't, because if you're the Viking Raiders, why aren't they demanding a shot at the titles? They seem to be content playing all these dumb games. Anything you could do, I could do better. You know, so they come to Backlash and they start fighting in the parking lot. Why? Why were they fighting in the parking lot? We never got an explanation of that. They were going to the ring to wrestle for the championships, and yet they're fighting in the parking lot. It's just stupid stuff like that, that they just do it for the sake of doing it, and it doesn't make any sense. Are we supposed to believe that these guys are just idiots? I mean, is everybody on the roster? Yeah, is slow build? My God. What are they making? Brisket? Well, I mean, what are they cooking here? What are they serving up?
It's a slow burial of their character.
A slow burial. Well, that I agree with. I thought you were going to say it's the slow build. I go, how much slower can the build be? For God's sakes.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, no, it's definitely, they're definitely burying the Viking Raiders at this point. They can get away with the goofiness because they're goofy in general, but
it's not.
The Viking Raiders are just getting buried.
But not intentionally. See, I don't think they see it that way. It's not like, oh, we hate these guys, we're going to bury them. But you can argue that that's kind of what's happening here. You know, I mean, I don't think it's an intentional burial, but yeah, you could argue that they're certainly not doing these guys any favors. They have to have their entertainment on the show, and it's just the way they operate. You know, it's just the way that they do things. 575.
Hi, Solid Monster. My name's Andy. Been a fan of yours since 2012.
Thank you, Andy.
Yeah, so just a couple of things and a quick question to you.
Mm-hmm.
So the Street Profits and the Viking Raiders, let's face it, the tag team division is kind of a joke, and that's what this whole thing has been, that whole thing of the fight or whatever, it's going to be, you know, going from wrestling to just a comedy act again. That's no surprise. And I didn't know what to expect for the Edge and Randy Orton because of the way they've been building it so much, like, throughout the whole time for these weeks. And I was pleasantly surprised. And two questions to you. So why do you think for the Edge and Randy Orton match, they built this one up in particular so much? Like, they made it sound like, oh, this one's going to be the greatest ever. Like, why specifically now? Like, why does it have to be this match and put so much pressure on Orton and Edge when Edge is just barely getting his feedback?
Well, the reason they did it is because apparently, or at least from what I understand, the reason they did things the way that they did them is because they felt they didn't have a big hook for this pay-per-view. They thought the card was weak. They had to do something to get people jazzed up and get people talking about it, and this was their grand idea. I don't know what that says about them, if that's true, that they felt the card so weak. You're the ones putting the pay-per-view together. Isn't that on you to put together an exciting card? Apparently, they felt it wasn't exciting enough. And so this is what we ended up with.
Well, exactly. Like, I can understand that, but hey, shouldn't, like, creative, and I know the buck stops on them, so,
yes.
Like, shouldn't creative, I don't know, try to, like,
yes.
Shouldn't they try to, like, actually build people, and...
I agree.
And...
You're making too much sense.
I'm sorry about that. They should be building and building at creative. But instead, they're like, okay, well, we don't have anything for you guys. They're basically telling us, the audience, okay, well, this card isn't good enough because we haven't promoted these guys, so hey, we'll just give you the greatest match ever made. I mean, it's kind of like, really?
Yeah. I mean, there's really, it is what it is. I find myself saying that a lot about WWE. It is what it is. It is what it is. They put together a card that they obviously felt wasn't strong enough on its own. Let's get people talking. You know what? We'll see if it worked. If they get new subs to the network, it worked. If they didn't, then it didn't. Simple as that. That's how you measure it. Did more people sign up for the network to watch this match or not? Today's day and age, that's how they have to measure things. They picked up a whole bunch of new subscribers, then hey, I guess we're wrong and they're right. 814.
From one Jason to another, greetings from Erie.
Greetings. I'm going to use my
alien
voice. Greetings, earthling.
Greetings.
I've called in a couple times before. I called in around like Halloween last year and around Thanksgiving last year, and I seem to call you every time around the holidays. So
I'm going to call you David
next week, right?
Greetings, Earthling.
I'm just being stupid.
I love that sound synthesizer you got there.
I'm just being stupid now. I'm having some fun. This is my way of decompressing after a bad paper.
We all deserve fun. We all deserve fun.
I agree. So anyway, sum it up for me. What did you think of the show?
Well, I had a choice. Either watch this show or watch Adam Machidi burn his foot on YouTube. And boy, did I choose right with Adam Machidi.
Burn his foot. So should I dare ask what happened?
I went away from the room for one moment, and I came back, and he was complaining about hurting his foot. And it had a rash on it. It started to blister, and he put a piece of frozen chicken on
Maybe
it.
Maybe he's got foot fungus.
Oh, my God. It was just so hilarious.
Maybe he's got athlete's foot.
I don't think it was foot fungus. I don't think it was foot fungus.
It's very odd. Okay, I mean, I'm not really going to go I'm not interested in going to see with my own eyes. I'll take your word for it. But maybe he's got some bad athlete's foot. He ought to get that taken care of. anything else?
Well, I just hope what I heard tonight is not true. And the rumor mill is telling me that the WWE is looking for a new writer. And if this name is true, I pray for the life of WWE.
No, don't say it. Don't say it.
Yes.
Don't say it.
Yes, Vince Russo.
Don't
That's
say
the
it.
Name I heard.
Now let me ask you.
I'm sorry.
Where did you hear this from?
From Cultaholic, actually.
Really?
They did a recent video on YouTube. They were doing a tier list with Tom Campbell and Ross. And Ross brought it up on their video. And I was like, no, don't. No, don't say that name. Don't say anything. He said it. Okay.
Now, was it them
just a rumor.
Yeah, but was it them just floating it as, well, you know, they're making changes. Maybe they'll call him? Or is this something that they supposedly heard themselves? I mean, what's your impression? Like, how is it couched? How is it brought up?
Ross brought it up gradually. And I just hope it is a rumor.
I don't think it's true. I don't.
If this is true,
I don't think it's true.
If it's true, they're going the same path WCW has been going before they, you know, went left.
I'm in a bed. There have been rumors about this with Impact, and those were shot down. Hopefully, that's all it is. You know, No. 210.
Yep.
First
of all, I feel like, don't get me wrong, Edge versus Randy Orton was a great match. But I feel like that I was playing with my action figures. They were kicking out from the finishers left to right. Back then, Dark Hero actually meant something. But now he just throwing it around. Overall, I feel like the whole crowd was beside the edge, and Randy Orton was not it.
Was there any other match? Was there like one match that you did like other than Orton and Edge?
Probably Bobby Lashley and Andrew McIntyre.
Yeah, that was a good one.
I feel like that they still made Bobby Lashley look strong, but they still put over Andrew McIntyre.
Yeah, I agree. Anything else before I let you go? I agree with everything you just said. I thought that was very well said. Anything else?
And hopefully they actually have a good build up to if they have a Randy Orton versus a Drew McIntyre match.
I agree. I cut him off. That was a good call. That was a young listener who was apparently very happy with Randy Orton and Edge, and I heard something about action figures in there, and you know, he was talking about building to McIntyre and Orton. Even the kids know that that's probably the direction that makes the most sense. See, he should call WWE. That way he's communicating with people of his same age level. And, yeah, they might be able to understand each other. Miles Chambers, thank you for the $10 Russo on a pole. Super chat, bro. Edge and Randy's match had fan noises added instead of hearing the PC audience. Indeed, they did. That was pretty obvious. Like WCW piping in Goldberg chants. There were Goldberg chants, but they also piped in Goldberg chants during a lot of his entrances back in the day. Magician Sapphire, thank you for the 10. Saw Dax Harwood's tweet that FTR is glad they're gone from WWE in response to that garbage tag team match. And I am too. You know, I got to go find that tweet. I'll put it up on the screen. I did not know that he tweeted that, but I will go find it right now. And you can understand why. It's got to kill guys like that. FTR, I mean, these guys, say what you want about FTR, if you like them, if you don't like them. Those guys live, eat, sleep, bleed, breathe, everything tag team wrestling. Imagine what they must have been thinking sitting back watching that shit. You know that if they were in WWE, they would have been in that segment. They would have been in the Godzilla costume. They would have had them dressed up as ninjas. They would have had them dressed up as Godzilla. They would have had them doing all kinds of stupid, silly shit. They would have been dying on the inside. So I don't doubt that he feels grateful to be gone from WWE after what he saw tonight. I don't blame him. 336.
Hey, man, what's going on?
Good. Who am I talking to?
Hey, what's up? This is Alex in North Carolina. I just wanted to say I just started listening to you this year. Mad late, but I really appreciate what you do, and I look forward to it a lot during the week. So
thank you. Thank I appreciate you that. That's very nice of you.
Yeah, absolutely. So on the pay-per-view, we got a group of friends that we watch. I think we're pretty pragmatic. You know, we're fans of whatever is good, I think. But I thought the whole pay-per-view was pretty much shit, except until the end. Mm-hmm. And I liked Orton Edge. This is probably my favorite Orton match that I've seen. But honestly, like the last 15 minutes just like really killed it for me in a bad way. It was rock bottom kick out, prettier kick out, RKO kick out times two, spear kick out times two. You know, it really threw me out of the whole thing. I felt like they were playing to the tagline instead of having an awesome match. Like the first 15, when they were like dodging each other and all the counters and everything, I fucking loved it. But the last 15 sort of pulled it out. Really think it was still a good match. But that's kind of where I sit on it.
Yeah, I think they did go overboard. I said that before. I think they went a little overboard with all the near falls and all the kickouts and stuff. They didn't have to do that. You know, they could have kept it limited to a smaller number of moves. But, you know, it didn't kill the match. It didn't ruin the match for me. I just think they could have... Yeah, they probably had it in their heads. I mean, shit, they're promoting this as the greatest match ever. We just got to go blow it out. We got to put everything out there. And maybe that's part of what went into their mindset, and they did a little too much, but didn't hurt the match. I did find that tweet, which you saw a moment ago. There it is again. Dax Harwood, 9:05 p.m., which I assume was right after that god-awful segment was over. Yes, guys, we know. And yes, guys, we're happy. Hashtag FTR. I'm sure they are. I'm sure they are. Very happy to have not been part of what we saw on that show here tonight. Let's do a couple more here. 707.
Hello?
Hello.
Oh, yes. Hi, so I'm also, this is California kid Anthony Clark Jr., now residing in Japan. What's going on?
Wow. So it's got to be almost New Japan time over where you are.
Yeah, it's about 1:15 in the afternoon right now on a Monday.
Wow, that's very cool.
Yeah. Just wanted to say that, you know, I've been listening to you since 2013, and, you know, just really appreciate all that you've done, and you know, entertaining everybody, and I really appreciate that. So thank you very much.
Well, thank you.
Yes, so I just really got done watching the Backlash pay-per-view. Normally, when I watch pay-per-views, I have to wake up early on Mondays, or sometimes I'll catch it later in the day. But to be honest with you, this pay-per-view was really not, like, I wouldn't say worthy of watching, but, like, it was really mediocre. I just did not have any interest in it whatsoever, you know? I mean, I didn't listen to your review because I just hopped on, but, you know.
Yeah, I would say this is a show, if you take away those last two matches, not counting the tag title stuff, those two matches were quality. WWE title match was very good. The main event, I thought, lived up to, didn't live up to the billing, but I mean, it was a very good match. And the rest of the card was trash. I mean, it was mostly just, it just, there was nothing special about it at all. And it just irritated me, you know, having to sit here through some of it because it just did not feel like a pay-per-view should feel. But the main event, I give those guys all the credit in the world. I thought it was quality stuff.
Yeah, you know, I was really bored throughout most of it until up to the main event, because I was interested to see how they're going to book this match, this greatest wrestling match of all time, whatever they call it. But, I mean, you know, the main event was cool. Too many finishers for me, to be honest with you, but it was better than the WrestleMania match, that's for sure, at least to me, you know.
Yep, absolutely. So are you going to be tuning in to, I'm just curious, are you going to be tuning in, I don't know if you're a fan or not, but any of the New Japan stuff now that it's coming back?
Oh, most definitely. Actually, my last question I wanted to ask you before I get off here, I wanted to ask you, what are your thoughts about the return of New Japan? I know everybody's been chomping at the bit. I didn't listen to your podcast yet because I wanted to catch the interview first. So what are your thoughts on the return of New Japan?
Well, I did talk about it on the show today. I'm excited because it's nice to finally get them back. They haven't had a show since February 26th. They just completely shut down. I was talking about this earlier. When this stuff happened, when this stuff first hit, they didn't play around. They shut everything down. They haven't fired anybody, furloughed anybody. The executives and management in the company took pay cuts so the wrestlers didn't have to. They had put this statement out saying, we want the wrestlers during this time off to just train, keep themselves in the best shape they can be in. You shouldn't have to worry about, you know, your money or whether you have a job. You should worry about your health and, you know, getting in shape. And I thought, you know what? That's pretty cool. That's a pretty cool attitude to have about the whole thing. And once the state of emergency was lifted in Japan at the end of May, I guess plans were put into place and they said, well, we're gonna begin the reopening process. So I think that they should be commended for that. I think it's nice that they're going to get the New Japan Cup. I didn't think we were going to get a New Japan Cup this year. Sanada is my pick. We'll see if that pans out. That was my prediction at the beginning of the year. I saw Will Ospreay. He looks like a totally different person now. He looks like he's up 25 pounds, jacked now, all muscle compared to what he looked like before. It's going to be very interesting to see as these guys come back how different things are. And I'm looking forward to it. You know, I don't know if I'll be able to catch every single night of the Cup, but I definitely want to check out some of the key shows. And it'll be nice to have other wrestling. You know, then now I'm just waiting for NWA Power. Got to get back in studio, right? Down in Atlanta. And hopefully we'll get at least some wrestling back where it feels a little more normal, even if they can't have full crowds. Because after tonight, and some of the things I saw on this pay-per-view, yeah, I'd like to have a little more variety in what's being offered to me. I'd like to have other options. That would be nice. We have AEW, but let's get some of these other promotions back. But yes, I am looking forward to that. 205. I hear my voice. Well, that's unfortunate. I did try, but we must move on. And we'll move on. We'll do two more here. 502, you are on the air. Is this Chris?
Hey, what's up, Mr. Monster?
Hey, Chris, what's going on?
Nothing much. Just watched that Backlash, and me and everybody in the chat were wondering when you're going to come out with your new mixtape.
My new mixtape is going to be the hottest thing, man. It's going to be the hottest thing. You see, I think before I get my mixtape, I feel like I need my SoundCloud, right? Isn't that the thing to do, right? You got to get your you got to get your SoundCloud first. Yeah, you know, I don't want to give away too much because then people won't buy the album. But you know, I've been working on some stuff. Yeah. I figure maybe I could do a cover of some WWE themes, like for example, like
just give me a sense of what you think of this. I'm just a sexy boy. I'm not your boy toy. I got the looks that drives the girls wild. I've got the moves that really move them. I send chills up and down my spine. I'm just a sexy boy.
What'd you think about that? What do you think? Need some work?
Oh, gosh.
Need some work?
Look what I started. We could
work on that. We can work on that. Oh, I got another one for you too. I got one more for you.
I am a real American. Fight for what's right. Fight for your life.
Anyway, you think people will buy that? I'll put that on my SoundCloud once it's up.
Yeah, especially the second one. That one was. That's going to be your moneymaker.
Second one. That's what I thought. Right? Yeah. Okay. Right. Yeah, we're onto something here. That's going to make me the big bucks.
Yeah, that'll be your first single.
I'm going to get my Slammy Award. Right.
You can carry them around like Owen used to.
Oh, yeah, Owen. You got one in each hand. I'll have one for each song.
Right.
It's going to be great.
Right. Oh, my goodness.
So, I don't even know.
What were you talking about?
I don't know. We were talking about my mixtape now. You want to be my agent? You want to be my record producer here?
Yeah, I'll shop you.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'll shop you demo around.
Okay.
It's all good.
You sure about that?
I'm going to take your word for it. I'm going to hold you to that.
Oh, my goodness. More entertaining than Backlash.
It is, isn't it? Isn't it more entertaining than a lot of what you saw tonight at Backlash? You got to admit.
Yeah, and here, I was going to somewhat defend that whole tag team fiasco thing. I was going to say there were some funny jokes in there and everything, but this is way funnier.
Yeah, yeah. How about Akira, dressing up Akira Tozawa as a ninja or whatever he was supposed to be and doing all the stuff. It was like something out of Beverly Hills Ninja. You know, it's like something you would have seen in WWE television like 25 years ago where they would have, you know, every ethnic group would have a certain stereotype, right? Every Japanese star was evil. They would Pearl Harbor you and they would throw rice in your face like that. Really? Really? Anyway.
Yeah, I love me a good ninja, but you know.
But just bottom line it for me, because I've been asking people all night when they call in, overall show, you know, main event, not just the main event, but just overall. I mean, do you disagree that this was a thumbs down show on the whole?
I think it was definitely a thumbs down on the whole. I give it a 3 out of 10. I don't, and I wasn't even as big on the main event as you were. I mean, they're not my favorite wrestlers anyway going into it, but it's not really the point. It's the execution of the matches. And as the match goes, yeah, I'm sure it was executed pretty well, but I mean, it went on so long and there were just, I don't know. There were some things that I just kind of started tuning out a little bit. I mean, once it got to the end and it really started picking up, I was, you know, more eyes glued to the TV, but you know, I don't know. I'm ready for them to kind of blow this whole thing off between Edge and Orton now.
Who knows when
that's going
to
be.
Oh, I was going to say they may have to. I mean, if Edge is hurt and he's going to be gone for a while, that could be it. I don't even know that we need to have a third match. What do we need a third match for? How do you top the greatest wrestling match ever? Right? So,
Exactly. Yeah.
There it is.
I mean, all the great. I mean, on the greatest pay per view, and I mean,
well, let's not get carried away now. This is perfect, though. They each have a win. Edge got his win at WrestleMania. Orton got his win here in this match. They tried something special. They tried something a little bit different. Between the two matches, that's over an hour of wrestling. Actually, if the first match was 40, they said this one was about the same length. Yeah, that's over an hour of wrestling. Or almost an hour and a half, whatever it was. You don't need a third match. Not every feud needs to go to a rubber match. You know, Edge has only got a certain number of matches on his contract. When he's ready to come back, I'd like to see him mix it up with other people. Maybe Edge and AJ. You know, Edge and AJ Styles or Daniel Bryan or... I say Brock Lesnar, but that probably wouldn't be such a good idea for Edge. But yeah, I'd like to see him... I'd like to see him get in there with people. Okay, get away from Orton. We did the Orton thing twice. You redeemed yourselves here tonight. Now move on. You know, move on to someone else.
Right. Yeah. No, yeah, I agree. I really don't need a third match. I just on that. That's the WWE way, you know. You got to have that rubber match.
And, I know.
You know, and so that's where my mentality was. But after hearing that Edge hurt himself, I mean, now they could, since Edge hurt himself, and they could play it off as Orton did this big, you know, injury to him, and you know, they can play up Edge's comeback and really, I mean, even though they already kind of did that, but I mean, they could have Edge looking for like just blood in his eyes and build that all up all over again. I mean, I'm sure that's probably what they'll end up doing or something to that effect anyway. So, I mean, it could be entertaining, but you just don't need another, like, if they could just keep it under 30 minutes, that would be great.
Yeah, yep. Yeah. I agree. Anything else before I let you go?
No. I was pretty much just, you entertained the fuck out of me at the beginning. So, I mean, I can't walk away complaining.
Well, I try my best. I mean, you don't want me to be like, stiff as an android here.
I mean, I could talk like one if you really want me to, but there's nothing really exciting about that. Now I sound like I'm cutting a WWE promo.
You're on the writing team.
Oh God, don't put that evil on me. All right, I'm gonna let you go. I'm gonna let you go now.
All right, you have a good one.
All right, you too. Have a good night. That was Chris. That was one of our loyal listeners calling into the show. Cuba the Goat says Booker T and Buff Bagwell is the greatest ever. Chaotic Dragon 1000. Thank you for the $10. And Reconsum, please make a mixtape. I don't think people are really all that interested in that. But you never know. If I get a groundswell of support, I just might. All right, let me go to... man, there's so many. I wish I can get to them all. But 956. Let's go to 956.
Hey, Jason. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. It's Christian from Brownsville, Texas.
Hey, Christian. I'm sorry to keep you waiting for so long.
Yeah, that's all right. I'm used to it. So let's get it started. overall, the main event was good. But the part with the three parts in the very late, Vince, what are you doing? Are you lost your mind? At COVID-19, you know.
Yes. The answer is yes.
Right? Oh, my God. I thought my head was going to explode from stupidity just watching that match.
Yeah, yeah.
Where is Vince McMahon and what is that thinking?
What did you think of the of the Asuka Nia Jax match?
I didn't watch all of it because I was playing a video game, so I had it in the background.
Yeah,
I didn't watch like that. Yeah,
I just have yet to talk to anybody, and I would love to hear the justification for liking the double countouts on a pay-per-view.
I hate that. I'm sorry. As a wrestling fan, I hate the whole double countout thing. It's just so, just have Asuka move on. I just didn't need to be in the storyline, like you said. And I'm sure a bunch of other callers did that same thing.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I...
Exactly.
Yeah. Anything else from specifically from the pay-per-view tonight?
No, that was pretty much it. I really liked the Christian Howard Papers board. That was a really nice little cut right there. That was really fun.
Yes. All right. Well, listen, I'm gonna.
That was really good.
I'm gonna let you go. I appreciate the call as always, and hopefully next time it won't take quite as long.
All right. See you later, man.
All right. Have a good night. All right, guys. Listen, I want to make sure I mention that on Tuesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, I'm going to be back here with you on YouTube because I will have a full review of Chapter 4 of the Undertaker Last Ride documentary, The Battle Within. It dropped today on the WWE Network. I've already watched it. Very good episode. A lot to unpack. The basic theme of it is the same, where it's getting to the point where I kind of feel sad watching The Undertaker just... It's like every episode is the same, where he's just this constant battle of, I got more matches behind me than I got in front of me. My body's giving out on me, and I don't know. Maybe this is it. But wait, I could have another match. Maybe I could do it. No, I can't do it. Vince, I can't go. But maybe I can. It's like, guy, you can understand why he doesn't want to let it go, but it's like, dude, just let it go. You know? And it's kind of sad to see him kind of struggling with that decision, but there were some interesting things. They did cover the Goldberg match from Saudi Arabia. So I'll have a lot to say about that. That'll be Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern right here on the YouTube channel. And in case you are not aware, we do have the full podcasts. You can see the platforms down below. Every major podcast platform, including iHeartRadio, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify. I'm blanking on all the other ones. Pandora, there's a whole bunch of them. It was a new two-hour show that dropped this morning. If you didn't listen to it, if you missed it, go back. I talk all about the Paul Heyman and the Bruce Pritchard news. The big creative shakeup in the company. Got a lot to say about that. So that's episode 656 of the podcast. Jeremiah, what is the 205? Okay, hold on a second. Because there's so many, I can't navigate through all of them. And I wish I could get to everybody. But let me see if I can just... Because I feel bad. I think I hung up on him by accident before, where he wasn't quick enough to the phone. Jeremiah, is this you?
Hello? Yes, this is me.
Hey, I'm sorry about that. I'm glad I got you.
Yeah, I'm glad I was able to talk to you. I don't know what happened. I was trying to take you off speaker, and I ended up disconnecting the call somehow.
Yeah, no, I heard feedback, and I heard my voice, and I thought that you were gone. But now you're back.
Well, it's good to talk to you. How are you doing tonight, Mr. Solomon?
I'm doing well. I'm very happy that you were able to get through.
Yeah, I'm glad I was able to get through. I've been listening to you since July of 2013 when I was in nursing school.
Wow. July of 2013 was the same month, I believe, I was in Philadelphia for the Money in the Bank pay-per-view.
Yeah, I remember that pay-per-view. That was a really good one. I stumbled across you because... I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, I was saying I stumbled across you because I was listening to Don Tony and Kevin Castle as well. But then I also heard about this podcast, Solomonster Sounds Off. And I have to say, Mr. Solomon, I've been hooked ever since. I love it. I catch every single Sunday episode, the Wednesday AEW Dynamite reviews, the reviews you do for the pay-per-views, and the Q&As, and you do those in your time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and hopefully I'll be doing another one of those in the next couple of weeks. But I love it. I love hearing that. I'm glad you enjoy all of it. I'm pumping out more now than ever, it feels like. So as long as you guys keep consuming and listening and watching, I'll keep doing it.
I have to say, you have the work ethic of 10 men. It's amazing how you have the time to do it all, along with your at-home work.
I wish I had the work ethic of Vince McMahon. I don't think he ever sleeps.
Yeah, I think sleeping is the enemy for him.
Yeah, he's one of these guys, he'll sleep when he's dead. That's probably what he says.
Yeah, he is. He
the problem is, he's at the problem is, well, hold on. The problem is, he's at the age where if he doesn't get some sleep, you know, I mean, he may end up that way. So he's got to be a little careful. He's got to take care of himself.
I think if Vince went to sleep, he probably should think he was dead.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But I did have a comment about Backlash tonight that got me some, it really has me concerned about Edge. Do you think that with the injury that Edge had tonight after, I know it was taped a week ago, but with him injuring his tricep, do you think maybe he's kind of falling along the same lines as The Rock did when he came back and wrestled John Cena with those back-to-back WrestleManias? And he, I think he tore his intestine in the second one. Do you think maybe he's having those kind of, you know, ringless tears happening to him, or do you think he can bounce back from it?
I think it's too premature to say. I mean, I didn't even see where the injury happened. It could have been a fluky thing. Maybe he landed the wrong way. You do worry about that. The guy is 46 or 48, I think, at this point. And I don't know what he's taking or doing to get himself in shape, if he's overtraining or what he's doing, but you're more prone then to tearing things. And when you're older, it takes longer to come back. The Rock, I don't know what The Rock did. He destroyed himself in that second WrestleMania match. I think he tore something off the adductor muscle, and he tore this muscle, and he tore that muscle. I mean, if you look at him, you could see why. He's all bulked up. I think if it's a fluke injury, he could come back. But that's going to be something he has to evaluate on his own. He starts getting hurt a lot. You know what? Maybe he ought to just, you know, leave well enough alone. He got his comeback. He had his WrestleMania match. I know it wasn't in front of people, but, you know, maybe he needs to just dial it back a little bit. He's not a spring chicken anymore. You know, he's getting older.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, because I'm like you, Jason. I was glad that he made the comeback, but I'm starting to put the pieces together, because he came back at the Royal Rumble, last time he really saw a crowd, and then at WrestleMania, no crowd, to a pretty much lackluster match, and now getting hurt at his Backlash match. Maybe this is God telling him he needs to leave his career where it was.
Well, like I said, it's one injury right now, and if that's all it is, look, he was, when he was still wrestling full-time, he was wrestling Jeff Hardy at a house show. And in the first minute or two of the match, he did a leapfrog and he ruptured his Achilles, and he was out for 7 months. Ouch. And that was, it's a fluky thing. You know what I mean? So maybe it's not ring rust. Maybe it's just one of those things. But if the injuries began to mount, then that's when you got to start asking that question.
Yeah, that's true, because, you know, it's different than when he was wrestling before. You know, he has Beth Phoenix and two young children now.
Yeah.
So he has to consider his future than trying to relive his past, you know?
Yeah. So, I mean, hopefully he'll be all right, and we'll get another update on it. But I would love to know on what spot it happened, because I couldn't really pinpoint it. He wasn't showing any signs of it.
Yeah, it's probably one of those delayed injuries that, you know, just mounted after everything was done.
When the adrenaline wore off, all of a sudden it's like, my arm. Could be one of those things.
Yeah.
Could be.
Yeah.
All right, well, listen, this was good. Anything else before I let you go and we wrap things up?
No more than just to tell you thank you, Mr. Solomon, for everything you've done. You really have helped us through this pandemic. It's so unprecedented to have to deal with these certain issues, but I thank you for your dedication and the time you put into doing these shows, and just keep up the blessed work, man. I love you, brother.
Thank you. I love you too, my friend. I appreciate that. Be well. That was a good call, I think, to end on there. I always love hearing from the long times. Sometimes you get the long time first times, you know, who call in for the first time or super chat or whatever. Love hearing from everybody. Actually, let me just do one last check here, because I think Rican Sun really wants that mixtape. Well, we'll have to talk. You and I, we'll chat. Maybe we'll get a duet going. You guys need to pick the song. How about that? You pick the song. Right Said Fred, maybe. His song. Or pick the song, and I'll have to give it the auto-tune treatment, and we'll see how it goes. All right, guys. I'm exhausted. I'm Stone Cold Steve exhausted here. I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to go edit and wait for this to pop up so I can share the link. Share the link when the stream does go up. It takes a little while for it to process, but you're helping the show out a lot. You share that link, retweet it and stuff when I post it on Twitter. I would appreciate that. Like I said, Tuesday night, 8 p.m., there'll be a new Undertaker Chapter 4 review here on the channel. I'll be back live again Wednesday night for AEW Dynamite. Episode 657 of the podcast coming up next Sunday. And I believe that is it. I believe that's everything. And there's some love for Audible, one of our sponsors. Use that link on your screen. You can get a free audiobook. You don't have to do anything. Go to audibletrial.com/solomonster. That's all you got to do. Thank you for joining me tonight. Thank you for picking me for your Backlash recap. Congrats again to the winner, Cecil, winner of the Wrestle Rumble contest, the three championship belts. We'll do more of those in the future. Until next time, be well, stay safe, have yourselves a great night, get some sleep. I'm going to hopefully do that soon. And I'll see you guys again this week for more content here on the channel. Take care, guys.